Activia lady! It's my new name. Aren't all yogurts the same?
Only Activia has Bifidus regularis and is clinically proven to help regulate your digestive system. Mm.
Take the Switch to Activia challenge now. It works, or your money back. Activia!
Morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It blasted off this morning. Iran has sent out new shockwaves with the test firing of an advanced new missile. With more on the story, we go live to the Foreign Desk and CBS News reporter Vicky Barker.
Iran already has missiles capable of reaching Israel or U.S. bases in the Gulf. But the new Sajid-2 missile takes Tehran to a deadly new level because it's powered by solid fuel, as analyst Mark Fitzpatrick explains.
Liquid-fueled rockets, there's a preparation time. With a solid-fueled missile, the launch time can be very quick, and so it's militarily more significant.
The extended 1,200-mile range also means Iran could now hit targets in Eastern Europe if it wanted to.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. U.S. officials are reviewing intelligence information on this Iranian launch. The action is seen as a direct response to President Obama's recent outreach to Iran and his plan to seek more sanctions against Tehran if it rejects calls for talks on its nuclear weapons program. The president has mentioned a range of options if Iran fails to respond. Outside observers also view the launch as a response to the president's Monday meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israeli concerns about Iran's military ambitions, Nick.
A published report says there's worry within the military that U.S. arms meant for Afghan security forces are ending up in the hands of Taliban fighters. The New York Times says more than a half the rifle magazines collected from dead insurgents recently contain rounds identical to those supplied to Afghan troops. Hard on the heels of Senate approval of a credit card reform proposal, the House could vote on final passage later today.
This bill would end the practice of arbitrarily raising interest rates on existing credit card balances, something that's happened to millions of Americans in just the past few months.
I couldn't believe that they could get away with that. That is not what I bargained for. It is not what I signed on for.
Credit card companies would have to explain rules in simple English, send bills in plenty of time to pay them when they're due, keep promotional rates at least 6 months, and stop giving cards to students who don't have any income or a parent co-signing on the debt. But the Senate also added an unconnected provision to allow people to carry loaded guns in national parks. And while the House will have a split vote to allow many Democrats to vote against that, in the end, the gun measure will be part of the new law. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Back to the drawing board for California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and lawmakers after voters rejected a package of ballot measures aimed at easing the state's huge budget deficit. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the details from Los Angeles.
Even with the threat of massive cutbacks in virtually every state program, the voters said no. They overwhelmingly rejected a series of ballot measures designed to ease the state's enormous budget crisis. Now lawmakers, including Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, must decide what to do next.
We always will know how to move forward and make the adjustments. We always respect the will of the people.
The programs that will likely be hit hardest are health and education services. Thousands could lose their jobs.
I'm Steve Kathan. Other states are facing their own struggles in this recession.
Asking the legislative branch to go back to the drawing board with regard to this year's budget.
South Carolina's in a battle over federal stimulus money. Indiana's budget projections needed retooling just 2 weeks after they were drawn up. In Illinois, a new governor's trying to make the numbers work.
Some people say it can't be done. I think it can be done.
But teachers and state troopers could be laid off. In Minnesota, lawmakers are at odds with the governor.
Either we could do it his way, or he would do it his way.
No one's way is the easy way with times tough and money short in just about every state, Nick.
This week, CBS News is focusing on children of the recession. Today, correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on how the economic downturn is affecting broken families.
Family lawyer Jimmy Vaught noticed two recession-related trends that hurt children. More couples that should divorce don't to save money.
A simmering anger or frustration that's going to at some point boil over.
Second, when parents are split.
Anytime you have people who are losing their jobs, people are looking to reduce their child support.
Nationwide, there's been a 39% jump in requests for child support decreases. That's contributing to childhood homelessness.
It seems to be increasing greatly. It's homeless unaccompanied youth is where the numbers seem to be getting bigger.
And Awayo at Austin Schools Project Help, which faces a huge challenge keeping these displaced kids performing and behaving in school.
You know, they're used to having a certain way of life. Then they feel stigmatized on campus. They don't want to get free lunch because they think they're going to be singled out.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Austin.
It's 5 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Coulda, woulda, shoulda, the Nuggets have to be kicking themselves this morning following a heartbreaker last night.
We did a lot of good stuff. You know, played probably well enough to win a lot of nights.
Just not last night. That's Coach George Karl. 105-103, the final, game two tomorrow night in L.A. President Obama announcing national emissions limits for vehicles, as well as requiring 35.5 miles per gallon. Dave McCurdy, president of the Automakers Alliance.
It will be a 30% reduction in overall CO2.
The president's plan links for the first time pollution reduction from vehicle tailpipes with increased efficiency on the road. And Xcel Energy says a pair of new power-boosting units are coming online just in time.
Meeting the energy needs of 200,000 homes in Colorado. These are primarily peaking facilities that we'll use during the expected hot summer coming on.
That's Mark Stutz with Xcel. The Rockies fall to the Braves 8-1. Same teams in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao, now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Police made quick work of an accident southbound 225 right around 6th Avenue, but it's still going to be a little bit sluggish as you are making your way through that stretch. The rest of the highway is just building in those usual spots like I-25 downtown. Westbounders on 76, you're also seeing a few more cars on that approach to 270. Surface street crash also should be cleaned up shortly. Near 17th and Welton. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Technology. You never have to pan, you never have to zoom, you never have to scroll. You just read. Those were the words of Amazon's chief executive, Jeff Bezos, at the launch of the new Kindle DX, their brand new e-reader, which is 250% bigger than previous Kindles and aimed at the newspaper, magazine, and document reading audience. A paperless society is now one step and just under $500 closer.
American Idol.
You are the difference.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown. Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Grassy green, and I... kind of looks like bile green to me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, is it like...
Well, she thinks
pale?
It looks good. Everybody else that's been over likes it, and I'm kind of like the grumpy jerk husband who doesn't like
the
color.
How much input did you have before
this? Absolutely. Well, she's like, do you like this color? Do you like this color? I'm like, no. So I didn't like any of the colors, and she went with one of them anyway.
And so now you're stuck. Yeah.
I'm stuck with a green living room now. Green!
Well, I have a green... My wife painted our basement green.
It's kind of cool. She's, you know, she's making every room a different color, but... Wow. I woke up this morning...
How much do you
lights
care?
In there as I was... not, you know, I cared yesterday, but it'll be... I don't care today.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll get used to it.
You know, but what do you do? Your wife, you know, wants to paint the house, and guys just have no say in that kind of thing. Doesn't seem like...
Well, you're lucky that you're not being asked to paint it, too.
Yeah, you know, we had a friend come over and help us. And
I heard, I've never, a confession, I have never done mass painting because I've heard from everybody who's done it that
it sucks.
Really, really
I'd
bad.
Rather pay somebody to do it.
Yeah, it is really, really hard.
For sure. So, yeah, in the mold of Tuesday stinking, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, Tuesdays are really bad. Speaking of house problems, I got this problem in my garden. If anybody's got any tips, I'd love to hear them. I got this rock bed down in my garden in the back patio, and it's a rock bed, and I have bushes growing out of it. The problem is I got grass now growing in between the rocks. And I have one of those weed guards, and it just, the grass apparently doesn't care about the weed
guard.
Yeah,
you know, we get that problem, too, with some of our rocks.
What do?
You just got to go in there and pull the grass out.
Pull it out?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah,
I just don't know
if it'll... It's a job, but you just got to go in and pull the grass out.
Okay, because we don't want to put any chemicals down because I got my dogs back there.
Right. Just pull it out.
All right.
Just set aside a few hours because it takes some time, but yeah.
All right.
Just pick it.
Maybe I'll do that today. It's not supposed to be that hot today. What's it going up to?
85,
going up to
86, 87, something like that.
That's okay, yeah.
Oh, another nice day, and then the bad weather comes.
For the weekend,
yeah.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, let's do our news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
All right. There's some real bad news in Colorado, but I'm gonna hold that off until the end because it's going to be our topic of the first hour. So I'm giving you a little teaser there. We'll start out with some good news at the national level. Looks like this credit card reform bill is about to pass, and I don't usually say this, but it looks pretty serious, and it looks pretty good. Usually things that pass the U.S. Senate by a vote of 90 or 95 to 5 are not very good. Well, I've always said, you know, something passes by that margin in the U.S. Senate, it's a post office is renamed, a war has started, or a corporate tax loophole is opened. This bill looks like it's pretty good, and big kudos to Mark Udall. He first brought up this idea in the United States House of Representatives in 2005. And there's a nice Denver Post story about the evolution of this bill. So it's welcome news. I'm going to skip over the story of the day. I'm going to come back to that. As I said, we're doing national news here. Congress approves an anti-foreclosure bill as well. Congress on Tuesday sent the president legislation that encourages banks to spare homeowners from foreclosure after the industry helped scuttle a tougher measure that would have forced lenders to reduce monthly payments of owners in bankruptcy. So basically, they've sent this foreclosure bill over to the president without that cram-down provision because the cram-down provision was defeated in the Senate. This bill is... you know, it's a half measure. It's a classic, what you'd call a half measure. But half measure is better than nothing. The Politico reports Wall Street executives are desperate to solve a key Washington mystery. Where are the regulations on executive compensation? Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, too. When Senator Chris Dodd inserted a provision in the $787 billion stimulus package to dramatically restrict top employee compensation at bailed out banks, all eyes turned to the Treasury Department, which would write the regulations telling firms exactly what they could and could not do. But since then, nothing. Treasury hasn't issued the rules, and that's forcing many Wall Street firms to suspend 2008 bonuses and revamp their 2009 compensation policies. Well, first of all, here's the smallest violin in the world playing for the Wall Street firms. But secondly, yeah, where is Treasury? Really, where are they? Here's great news. Senator Ted Kennedy's cancer is in remission, and he will be returning to the Senate after the Memorial Day recess, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid told reporters Tuesday. That is fantastic. And that is really, really fantastic news. Not such good news. Senate Democrats on Tuesday decided to strike $80 million from a spending bill that was going to fund the closure of the detention camp at Guantanamo Bay, testing President Obama's plan to shutter the controversial facility by next January. The White House worked hard to downplay the setback, but several Democrats criticized the administration for putting their party in a quandary. U.S. Senate confirms Neil S. Wolin, a former insurance company executive, as deputy treasury secretary. You know, I'm really shocked after learning that they haven't passed executive compensation limits. Shocker. And a new study out from British researchers suggests that having daughters rather than sons makes you more liberal. You can find this study on 538.com. Interesting study. Colorado news. CSU puts the lawsuit on its agenda. The CSU Board of Governors this morning will have a special session to discuss that lawsuit filed over the board's closed-door meetings that led to naming Joe Blake as the sole finalist for chancellor. That lawsuit is the one that the Coloradan and the Pueblo Chieftain have filed against CSU. And so now the board is finally meeting to discuss this. Hundreds of teachers protesting Boulder Valley's contract offer stayed home from school again on Tuesday. 269 teachers absent, so this is really ramping up. Denver was named America's number one city on the verge of recovery from the real estate slump in a segment Tuesday on NBC's Today Show. Real estate expert Barbara Corcoran, a regular guest on the show, said Denver, more than any other U.S. city, is clearly on a rebound. That's fantastic. She says it's really the perfect real estate success story. It had one of the highest foreclosure rates in the nation for years running, and now they've cut that foreclosure rate in half, and they've turned the corner. A little bit of news of the weird here. Gadget news, tech news, nerd news, I like to call it. A man who left jury duty after lunch because he was, quote, extremely bored, will be back in a courthouse in Oregon Tuesday to be arraigned on a charge of contempt of court. Police report said officers found the 25-year-old near his home earlier this month and asked why he skipped out on jury duty. He said he was bored and just couldn't take it anymore. In Iowa City, a man has been arrested in the Iowa City area after police say he tried to eat a bag of marijuana to avoid drug charges. This is hilarious. University Heights police said the man was pulled over Saturday for a traffic violation. Police said the officers noticed a marijuana odor on his breath and a green leafy substance on his shirt. Police Chief Ron Fort said the officers then discovered the man had a partially eaten plastic bag in his mouth. Fort said the suspect eventually gagged, and a medium-sized bag came out of his mouth. Steven Spielberg is working with the head of the Martin Luther King Jr. estate to start filming a biopic of the civil rights leader. Interesting business news. Comcast showed the biggest gain in customer satisfaction among cable and satellite TV operators, a new survey shows. And, as promised, our final story of the day and the topic of the morning. Denver Post reports Governor Bill Ritter on Tuesday issued a late-in-the-day veto of legislation that would have allowed locked-out workers to once again get unemployment benefits. The legislation, the Post says, which I don't know, I think that they're wrong, would have favored grocery store workers in an ongoing negotiations over their union contracts. But the fact is that this lockout bill really wouldn't have affected the grocery store. The potential grocery store labor negotiations. Ritter cited that. And this is an absolute outrage. Governor Bill Ritter, again, has vetoed the bill to reinstate the law that used to be on the books here in Colorado, but was repealed by Governor right-wing lunatic Bill Owens. Governor Ritter has vetoed the bill to reinstate the law that says if you are locked out of your job by your employer, you can get unemployment benefits. Bill Ritter vetoing this bill in a late afternoon, smarmy little move, citing the grocery store negotiations, even though he could have put into that bill an effective date that would have been after these negotiations, even though this bill has a huge loophole that really means it might not affect the grocery workers. Of course, the union in the grocery that represents grocery workers slammed this, calling it an ill-advised and counterproductive move by Governor Ritter. Ritter says he doesn't want to tip the scales in those negotiations. The parties to these negotiations have been working hard for several months to try to reach an agreement. It's ill-advised and counterproductive to enact legislation that materially impacts the relative bargaining position of parties in the midst of ongoing negotiations. Well, hey, Governor Ritter, you have now adversely impacted one of those bargaining, one of those sides of the bargaining. You've said to the grocery store owners, yes, if you lock out the workers, they will be absolutely crushed, because, and their families will be crushed because they can't get unemployment benefits. That's your frickin' news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, so the open question of the day. Was Bill Ritter right to veto this bill? Was Bill Ritter right to veto legislation saying that if you go into your job and your employer locks you out of your workplace because they're afraid you're going to ask for a raise, that you can't get unemployment benefits? Did Bill Ritter make the right move? And if not, why did he make the wrong move? And if you think he made the wrong move, do you think this is the final straw that proves that this guy is an absolute sellout to big money?
Maybe he's getting advice from Mike Rosen, where he does a show once a month.
I mean, this is pathetic.
I think I drove by where he was signing that thing yesterday, or, you know, vetoing it.
It's just his
little press conference.
Pathetic. It's a guy who the Denver Post a couple months ago reports had much of his campaign debt retired by this group called Colorado Concern, that group of big fat cat corporate CEOs. Now he's coming in here. A bill passes the legislature, and he vetoes it simply to reinstate a law that was repealed by one of the most extremist right-wing governors this state has ever had. And I got to give credit to Ed Casso, by the way. We're going to try to get him on the line. The state representative originally authored this from Thornton. He accused the governor of, quote, hiding the fact that we're Democrats for political reasons. And this is really pathetic. I mean, it's just pathetic. I think it's pathetic, but I want to hear what you have to say. 303-713-7600. We have open lines. 303-713-7600. Was Bill Ritter right to veto a bill to allow you to get unemployment benefits if your employer locks you out of your job? Or has Bill Ritter completely sold out? Is he a complete slave to big money?
What has he done right?
I can't name a damn thing.
Maybe green energy, or, you know, some of the energy issues, and maybe.
I mean,
I can't think of one thing off the top of my head.
Here's the issue. When has Bill Ritter ever confronted power? Green energy is not controversial. Everybody loves green energy.
Yeah.
When has Bill Ritter decided to take
a stance on something that's kind of a little bit controversial?
Stand up to somebody, to something, instead of stomping on grocery workers? You're just a dirtbag.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And the only release I saw was from Ed Casso last night.
I know, because Ritter issued this. He tried to basically not get a lot of attention for this. But we're not going to let him not get a lot of attention. We want to hear what you have to say.
303-713-7600.
We should, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll get that for you coming in the next break.
303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm in a good mood, but Bill Ritter is really... Bill Ritter is a good way to get into a bad mood. All right, let's get a traffic update.
You got it. Traffic is looking pretty normal for us as we're kicking off the Wednesday AM commute. Had an early accident, Welton Street and 17th. That has been cleared, so no problems there. And around downtown, we do see volumes building on the freeway. Speeds are decreasing just a little bit there, maybe 30s and 40s heading in on 76 westbound, beginning at 74th Avenue. Also southbound 25, filling in Northland at 104th, also downtown after Park Avenue. And the normal jams in Aurora beginning to show up. up, southbound side, Colfax, and again thereafter Yosemite. The forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm with a high around 86. Afternoon thunderstorms on tap as well. Right now, 61 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Planning a wedding or... Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
This weekend, Ace is a place to save with over $140 in rebates, like buying Ace Royal Paint, starting at $21.99 a gallon and getting a $5 rebate, limit 10. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer for $9.99 can save you an extra 45% after a $4 rebate, limit 2. Or get a great deal on an Adirondack chair for $29.99. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
Get this. Joey and me were supposed to go to this concert next week, right? But then something terrible happened. Joey was driving without a seatbelt. But he didn't wreck. No, he got pulled over. Now Joey has to pay for a seatbelt ticket instead of a concert ticket, and I have to go by myself. How lame is that? So Joey, if you're out there, you're an idiot. Wear your seatbelt or you'll get a ticket.
All across the country, cops are cracking down. Click it or ticket. Day and night. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Topic of the day, Bill Ritter issues this late afternoon, late in the day veto of a bill to reinstate the law that would have allowed locked out workers to get unemployment benefits. Just an explanation on why this is so important. If workers can get locked out and not get unemployment benefits, that obviously tilts the scales in labor negotiations towards employers. Right, towards the boss, because the boss now knows that if he locks out the workers, they're really going to suffer. They're not even going to be able to get subsistence unemployment benefits. And the workers know, and the boss knows that the workers know that. Right, the worker knows now that if they get locked out, if they ask for a raise and they get locked out, the company says, we're going to lock you out because you're asking for too much. We're just going to lock you out and hire replacements. The worker knows that if that happens, they and their family are screwed. And so means the worker is probably less inclined to ask for any kind of raise. That's why this bill was originally repealed. Why would Bill Ritter, a Democratic governor, veto a bill to simply say that if your boss locks you out of your job and tries to hire a replacement, if you're in a union, tries to hire a scab replacement, that you can't even get unemployment benefits? I mean, that is freaking heartless. And I got to say, what is the point of having a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature if this kind of bill, this kind of absolute bare minimum bill, gets vetoed? Really, what is the point? We keep coming upon these examples of the Democrats behaving as if there's no difference between them and the Republicans. Bill Ritter just did exactly what Bill Owens did. It's really, really pathetic. When has this guy stood up to any moneyed interest whatsoever? What is the point of him being governor if he's going to sit there and take orders from corporate fat cats? And just to substantiate that, remember, the Denver Post a couple months ago reported that Bill Ritter's campaign debt, a couple $100,000, was retired by this group called Colorado Concern, quote unquote. That's a group of Colorado CEOs. So what do you think? What do you think about this veto? 303-713-7600. Again, Governor Ritter has vetoed House Bill 1170, that bill to let workers who get locked out of their jobs, allow them to get unemployment benefits. Yeah, well, let's try to invite Bill Ritter on here to answer for himself. I mean, I'm sure he won't. My guess is he won't come on, but we'll try to get him on. I mean, this is it's just pathetic, in my opinion. This guy is absolutely so afraid of the corporate community in this state that he's not willing to do something that Bill Owens didn't do. And so, again, the question is, what's the point of having Bill Ritter as governor if he's going to do exactly the same thing that Bill Owens was doing? 303-713-7600. Brian and Parker.
Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to your, I guess you might call a small rant, but I'm right on board with that. I think we should be giving out the phone number on your radio for his office.
Yeah, let me give it out right now. I just got it right here. 303-866-2471. 303-866-2471. That's Governor Bill Ritter's number if you want to call him and express your opinion about him vetoing a bill to reinstate the law, which, by the way, many states have, to reinstate that law that allows workers who get locked out to at least be able to apply for unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I agree with you. I go back, I was talking to John about, you know, even Bennett, where you can, seems to be a long list, and I don't have it in front of me since I'm driving my car, of things that Ritter has done that are not what I would call in the Democratic genre, if you will, as far as supporting labor and things like that. And your point about the green energy, big deal. That's nice. That's a nice talking point.
I mean, it's a nice. I mean, where do you think this is coming from?
I just think it's just part of this march on labor, quite frankly. I mean, ever since the rate of labor unions and so forth, I just think it's, again, another squash on labor. Bottom line, I don't know that he's afraid of anybody. I think he's just...
Think he's, like, anti-labor?
I think he's anti-labor and probably more pro, you know, corporate.
Okay, I'm starting to think that you may be right. I used to think it was like, look, he's pro labor, but he's afraid. He's just kind of a wimp. Now it's like, now you're like putting your boot in the eye.
Well, I think if you look across the political spectrum, David, you'll see what I think. Maybe you'll see what I seem to see is a lot of what have formerly. It was easy to call yourself a Democrat when we had, you know, Bush and company running the country. And because I can't say anything because they have the power and all that.
Right, right, right.
You could, you know, hide behind that I'm a Democrat. But now you'll see, like, was it Max Baucus up in Montana? I can't remember.
Yeah, Baucus, right.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a Democrat.
No, he's the one who's saying, right, there's going to be no single payer on the table.
So now we're all these blue dog Democrats and so forth. They're starting to show their true colors. And because now they're up and, you know, the spotlight's on them. Now who are you going to be and what are you going to stand for? And I think Ritter, we're foreseeing what he's standing for. And it's not in the interest of, shall I say, we the people or labor.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, you know, let's be clear about this. There's no possible political benefit to Ritter in vetoing this bill other than it will allow him to raise corporate money, right? You're not going out on the campaign trail and telling average rank and file voters, hey, elect me. I voted to prevent you from getting unemployment benefits if your boss takes a crap on you, right?
Right.
This is not about, you know, because what you tend to hear in politics is politicians be, well, you know, Colorado's not that liberal state, and, you know, I have to be quote-unquote moderate. That's a bunch of nonsense on an issue like this, because I don't care if you're a conservative out in Grand Junction or a liberal here in Denver. Most rank and file voters, the average voter, probably supports the idea that if your boss takes a crap on you, you can at least get unemployment benefits, right? You don't have to be a conservative or a liberal, right? I mean, that's, and if you certainly aren't going to be voting for somebody in a statewide election because they vetoed this issue. The only people who are going to do that are a tiny handful of big-time bosses. This is not about Bill Ritter has to be moderate for a moderate electorate. This is about Bill Ritter thinks he has to raise a boatload of corporate money from a bunch of fat cats.
Right. I agree with you in large part, David. I was thinking, I have a circle of friends that are pretty conservative, and I would suggest that there are enough voters, or there's a large pocket of voters, that would support this because they feel that labor is a blight on corporate profits and the ability for corporations to do what they want to do. And I think there is enough of a pocket that, and I don't think Ritter is doing it for that reason, but I think there's a lot of people that would support his veto on this because it's kind of like a socialism to them.
Well, I just don't think, I mean, there's certainly, look, there's people out there who have all different kinds of views. What I'm saying is that signing this bill would not be able to be, I don't think, in a statewide election, be able to be portrayed as some sort of extremist position. This was, and my general point is, Bill Ritter, I don't think, he didn't veto this because he wanted to tack to some middle for the electorate, right? This was a money bill. This was about appeasing a very small minority of people in this state who fund disproportionately the political campaigns in this state. This wasn't a bill, wasn't some message to appeal to the rank and file Joe and Jane six-pack. This was about appeasing a couple of corporate fat cats in downtown Denver. Hey, thanks for the call. 6:36, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The open question, do you think Bill Ritter was right to veto in a late night, sort of under the table, secretive kind of way, this bill that would have allowed workers to get unemployment benefits if and when their boss locks them out of their job? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update.
You got it, Dave. Southbound 25 really starting to slow down for people heading out of North Glen, 104th to 84th, seeing speeds already dip into the 20s and 30s. Same situation, eastbound 270, York to Vasquez. Now the drive is really starting to fill in for us for the Wednesday commute. Eastbound 36, folks hitting the brakes there at Pecos. No problems. Westbounders heading towards Boulder right now. We do see some heavy traffic on eastbound C-470, though down on the south end of town there from Wadsworth to Platte Canyon. No problems in Highlands Ranch right now. Maybe speeds dipping into the 40s and 50s there after Broadway. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs will be in the mid to upper 80s. Your current downtown temperature, 62 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the Eastern Conference Finals is about to unfold on TNT. LeBron looks to extend the Cavs to playoff perfection, while Orlando is out to prove that they're championship material. Magic Cavaliers Game 1, tonight at 6, only on TNT.
Now, there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM 7.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 1-800-491-8149 or click on the banner above to go straight to our website. Remember, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Here's that number again, 1-800-491-8149.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics.
Then I pass the ball to
Taz in San Jose because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I pass the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line, created by our national development team.
Spread across 3 time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code TIME to get a free trial and a free retractable boy pet set. Remember that code, TIME. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Presenting the one, the only.
Entertaining. Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet.
This is Ashton Ritchie. See you in the yard.
.641, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Just to prove to you that I am an equal opportunity proponent as well as opponent. I'm not trying to pick on people here, right? I've had my problems with Michael Bennett. I've had some of my problems with Mark Udall. I want to give them credit, right? Let's give them credit where credit's due. This credit card bill that's going to pass, that was originally Mark Udall's bill. In the House way back in 2005 to crack down on the credit card industry. Michael Bennett voted for it. And I kudos to those two as well. They were among just the 33 Democrats that voted to establish a national usury rate. By that I mean a cap on interest rates. Only 33 Democrats could muster a yay vote, a yes vote, on a bill to establish, I think the cap was 20%, a 20% interest rate. Bennett and Udall both voted for that. Good on them. Good for them. You know, I'll give out kudos. You know, I'll credit where credit's due. This isn't about picking on Democrats, but when Bill Ritter, the governor of your state, campaigns as a Democrat, campaigning, and workers' wages, remember, workers' wages in the form of dues to unions were put in to help this guy get elected. When this guy not only refuses to help labor unions, but actually puts a boot in the eye of workers by saying, I'm going to validate Governor Bill Owens' policy of eliminating unemployment benefits for workers who get locked out because they ask for a raise. Remember, that's what happens in these situations. You want to know what a lockout is. A lockout's basically when if a group of workers in a union, let's say at a grocery store, they're negotiating with Safeway. Safeway says, you know, we're going to cut your pay by 10%. The workers say, well, we're thinking of going on strike. Well, what happens is oftentimes is that the other chain, King Soopers or Albertsons, will then lock out their workers in solidarity with Safeway. It's kind of like a collusion situation to try to pressure all of the workers to back down. Now, obviously, when workers who get locked out don't have unemployment benefits, it means that that lockout hurts a lot more. It means that when those workers get locked out, they have to worry even more that they should just back off and accept all of the wage cuts. So when you repeal those unemployment benefits, you are tilting the scales to the employer. When the employer wants to cut wages, cut the pension benefits, you are tilting the scale to the employer because you're making it harder for workers to actually fight back because you're economically threatening them. And I want to be really clear here. Ritter says he doesn't want to, quote unquote, inject himself into the grocery workers' negotiations. That's dishonest. That's straight up dishonest. And I hope we get Ritter on the line. We should at least get Evan Dreyer, his spokesman, to answer for this. It's dishonest because the bill is specifically written so that it won't take effect until July 1st, 2009. The deadline in the grocery workers' dispute, the deadline that both the union and the grocery employers, the grocery stores, have agreed to, is May 30th. So Bill Ritter saying, well, I don't want to interject myself into the grocery workers' strike. He's actually lying. He is actually lying because this bill was written specifically to avoid interjecting itself into the grocery workers' strike. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Bill Ritter vetoes the bill last night to allow workers who get locked out of their jobs by their employers to apply for unemployment benefits. Good or bad move by Ritter? 303-713-7600. Ed and Thornton. Ed.
Hey, Dave.
Hey there.
Hey, thanks. I think what you're saying is right on. I got to get in here to work, but let me make a couple comments. First of all, unemployment benefits is usually half of what you earn anyway. It's not going to keep you in, you know, in caviar and champagne.
Right.
And Ritter has, you know, I walked precincts with him, and he campaigned on being a friend of labor. And it is so frustrating. This is, you know, we don't, like you said, he kicked us in the eye, but, you know, we're running out of eyes. He's kicked us enough times in the eyes, you know, and he's chumming up with big business. And I feel that, after his first veto of the Colorado Labor Peace Act, I feel that he is chumming up with big business. He, is hoping to side with them. And I think he's conceited enough to where he feels that he will be, reelected, not necessarily with the help of labor, but also he's going to force us into, a choice of, you know, lesser of two evils. You know, and it's becoming so frustrating with this guy that, you know, I can't even see straight anymore.
It's incredibly frustrating. I mean, it's incredibly frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating when you see the kind of potential pay-to-play politics that are going on here. And I just want to make clear. I'm going to read this, make sure everybody has this. This is the Rocky Mountain News, December 9th, 2006. Business community rushes to bail out Democrat Ritter. If you've run up a big campaign debt, make sure you win the election. You suddenly find yourself with friends you didn't even know you had, and they come bearing contributions. Thanks mainly to Colorado's business community, which is notorious for its political flexibility, Democrat Bill Ritter managed to wipe out a large campaign debt that few in the outside world even knew he had, since it didn't show up in reports. But we learned last week that he ended the race owing $250,000 or so. A month later, the debt has been retired, and donation buckets are free to accept contributions for his 2010 reelection campaign. Taking much of the credit is Colorado Concern, a group composed of the state's top business leaders. Its executive director disclosed the financial situation in an email sent out Wednesday. The $250,000 debt, he said, has been reduced to just $55,000 thanks to the efforts of Colorado Concern. So the pay-to-play aspect of this, where you see this story about Bill Ritter accepting huge campaign contributions from the fattest of fat cats and then going on to veto a common-sense bill to simply reinstate the law, the old law, the law that many states have, to allow workers to get subsistence unemployment benefits if their companies lock them out of their job. It's disgusting. It is just disgusting. Ed, thanks for the call. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Weigh in. Let us know what you think about Bill Ritter's veto of this bill. And feel free to take the other side. 303-713-7600. Tim and Aurora. Tim.
Hi, David. How are you?
All right.
I'm just sickened by this. When does the working man in this country, working man and woman, actually get real representation? And not just on an issue here or there, but what are we actually represented on a daily basis? Somebody looking out for us. You know, I don't think any of this changes until public financing. I just don't think anything will ever change for us until that happens.
Well,
I don't ever see that happening because of the moneyed interest.
This is about as good a case for public financing as there really is. I mean, I'm not bending over backwards here to mix metaphors in order to connect the dots, right? I went on Google, spent 2 seconds on Google finding this story from the Rocky Mountain News about Bill Ritter taking a huge fat campaign check from the biggest of big businesses here and then putting it together with, hey, he vetoes a bill that's really common sense that many states have that was repealed by a radical right-wing governor. And you're right. This is about the perfect example of why you need campaign finance reform. Of course, it's also the perfect example of why getting campaign finance reform will be so difficult.
Absolutely.
Because guess who's extremely excited today? While Bill Ritter took a crap on Colorado workers, you can bet that those fat cats, those corporate fat cats in Colorado Concern, are high-fiving each other. This is a big win for them. They got a huge return on their investment. $250,000 to Bill Ritter gets them potentially millions and millions and millions of dollars in an ability to cut workers' wages.
They have the money. They have the opportunity to grease both sides and cover themselves fully. You know, the Republican Party mocks Europe. We have countries in Europe where an average working man gets 6 weeks vacation a year, where he has health care for he and his family, where people actually look out for them, where they work a 35-hour work week. Why don't we deserve that?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, how can the Republican Party say they don't want that, or say they don't want workers to bargain for that, and then say they're the party of family values? Good point, Tim. Hey, thanks for the call, man. 651, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, couple open lines. Bill Ritter tries to do it real quietly, he vetoes this bill that would have given unemployment benefits to people who get locked out of their jobs. One Democrat Representative Ed Casso of Thornton says Bill Ritter is pretending not to be a Democrat. He's trying not to be a Democrat in advance of the 2010 election. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Are you pissed off? Do you think Ritter made the right move? And do you think Ritter deserves a primary challenge? Maybe this is a product of a guy who just doesn't care because he doesn't feel like he has to care. 303-713-7600. Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, let's get a traffic update.
Stop-and-go jam, southbound 25 up in Northland. The delays start at 120th now, won't break free until 84th Ave. Also going to be busy closer to downtown there after 48th Avenue. Speeds in the 30s in that stretch, though. Also starting to see things build up in Aurora, southbound 225. Now full Parker Road down to 25. Northbounders also hitting the brakes there around the spillway. Also going to get some sun glare this morning. Eastbound 6 slowing down at Federal, as is the Turnpike at Pecos. And eastbound C-470 going to be slow from Wadsworth to Santa Fe. Forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm. A high of 86. Afternoon thunderstorms on tap as well. Right now, 62 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new Everyday Value Menu. Grab a junior breakfast burrito and a small order of tater tots. Just $1 each. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good.
Hey again, it's Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino. I got it.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home 4 times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
You
still waiting for economic stimulus to trickle down, but you still need a PC now? 345PC.com can help. We have two different PC packages priced at $345 and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. A new PC is as easy as 345PC.com. Visit our website at 345PC.com for complete details and secure online ordering of your custom PC. Assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a Kiss of Death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Showbiz.
Pride ourselves on giving you superior service and straight talk about your maintenance needs. If money's tight, we also have financing options to get you back on the road. At Cottman, we're more than just transmission specialists. We're a part of the community, and we're here for you. Call us anytime, 303-761-8841. That's 303-761-8841.
Say goodbye to rush hour traffic with TomTom's unique IQ Routes technology. Unlike ordinary GPS devices, TomTom uses actual drive times to find you the fastest way to get anywhere, at any time. TomTom, go confidently.
Looking for a smart buy in a new best-in-class automobile? Then look at the Chevy Malibu. For the money, there just isn't a better choice. And for a dealer to buy it from, there isn't a better choice than Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at DenverMalibu.com or MalibuDenver.com. Any way you spell it, it's PurefoyChevrolet.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Bill Ritter vetoes the bill yesterday to allow workers to get unemployment benefits if they are locked out of their job, if their employer locks them out. If their employer locks them out for asking for a raise, if their employer locks them out, effectively temporarily firing them, Bill Ritter is saying that those workers should not be able to file for unemployment. It's the same exact position as Governor Bill Owens, who originally repealed that law. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Deb in Loveland. Deb.
Hi. I totally agree with you. And it looks to me like we need campaign finance report reform so badly.
It does, but it also shows how difficult campaign finance reform really will be, right?
Yeah, because the corporations are the big ones against it, and it shows also who really is in office, and it's the corporations. It's not the Democrats or Republicans. But I'm really disgusted with Ritter because there's a little thing called principles, and he knows good and well that he's causing families to go hungry, and he's adding to the unemployment woes and the housing woes, all the other woes. The grocery workers do a heck of a job, and we owe them something. I mean, I'm obviously going to call Bill Ritter.
And the number there for Bill Ritter is 303-866-2471. Again, 303-866-2471. And I should say this. I'm making a challenge right now. I'm going to throw this out here. If you're a union worker, if you're in a labor union, I think it's time you call your own union leadership and tell them to not give any money, any of your dues, to any effort to help reelect Bill Ritter. I mean, if at this point, with Ritter vetoing that Labor Peace Act reform and now vetoing this bill, it seems to me that if the labor leadership in this state decides to put workers' wages into helping reelect Governor Bill Ritter, that they have a lot to answer for. They're going to really need to explain why they're doing that, why workers' hard-earned wages should go to helping reelect Bill Ritter after he has done things like this. I mean, the unions have to be willing to play hardball. I mean, this guy is kicking them in the face, and we're going to be watching to see what the unions do, because the fact is, I got to say this, if the unions continue to effectively condone this by giving money to helping reelect Bill Ritter, then they are part of the problem. The union leadership is part of the problem as well. Thanks for the call, Deb. 6:59, I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to talk to Tim Jackson. He's the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. We're going to be talking to him about, well, the economy, these new fuel efficiency standards, and we are going to get back to also after that this discussion about Governor Ritter's veto message. So stick around. That's all coming up after the national news.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Civitani. A Senate hearing 30 minutes from now will look at one of the dangers American soldiers in Iraq face away from the battlefield. Live to CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
It's a deadly issue that's angered members of both parties.
Someone shouldn't turn in the shower and get electrocuted.
I would agree that that is not something that should happen.
Houston-based contractor KBR, under fire before, will be blamed for improper wiring by an electrician hired by the Army. He inspected U.S. bathrooms in Iraq and found 90% was not done right in new buildings. At least three service members have been electrocuted while showering. KBR says it's cooperating but is not responsible for the deaths. Frank?
President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad broke the news, telling his people Iran has tested a new missile with a range of 1,200 miles. Analyst Mark Fitzpatrick says that would make it capable of striking Israel, American bases in the Persian Gulf, and targets in southeastern Europe.
If Iran continues on this trajectory, it soon, within a matter of 5 or 10 years, would have a missile which possibly coupled with a nuclear weapon would be able to hit European cities.
The New York Times says ammunition found on Taliban fighters killed in Afghanistan was identical to what the Afghan army received from the United States. CBS News foreign affairs analyst Jerry Van Dyke says the Taliban is known to use intimidation and death threats to get its hands on guns and ammunition.
The Taliban are putting a lot of pressure on Afghan soldiers. One way to survive is to pass the munitions along.
Companies that sell financial services may get a new watchdog looking over their shoulder. Live to CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer. What's behind this, Peter?
Well, look, Frank, there's an alphabet soup of agencies regulating the financial industry, everything from credit cards to mortgages and investments. Officials who favor this new approach believe consumer protection is often low on the priority list. The idea for the watchdog office stems from abuses uncovered during the financial crisis. Officials say it's still all in the planning stage. Treasury Secretary Geithner and high-level White House economic officials are discussing this plan for further regulatory reforms, Frank.
Michael Vick is on the move again. The one-time star quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons left to prison in Leavenworth, Kansas overnight. He's on his way home to Virginia to finish his sentence for dogfighting under home confinement. Californians can expect a shorter school year and thousands of layoffs of public employees now that voters have rejected a series of tax and budget ballot issues. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and state lawmakers are going to have to put numerous programs on the chopping block. There will be huge cuts, especially in education and health services.
Coast Guard searching for five crew members who were aboard a Navy helicopter that went down in the Pacific about 13 miles from San Diego. Petty Officer Henry Dunn.
Hoping for the best, and we're going to search as long as we can.
Just ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up about 7 points. This is CBS News.
Mom knew I needed calcium from day one. Turns out Mom was right. Because today, 80% of us don't get enough calcium from our food. And when we don't, our bodies can steal it from our bones. Caltrate, with advanced levels of vitamin D to help optimize calcium absorption, can help replenish the calcium we need. Which is why now I'm not just telling you, I'm telling my daughters, my sisters, my best friend's sisters, my aunts. Give yourself and the people you love TLC. Tender Loving Caltrate. Use as directed.
Did you know just $15 can turn your home into this summer's hotspot? From May 20th till June 7th only, get a Sam's Club summer membership for just $15. And enjoy members-only savings on everything from outdoor grills to USDA choice beef, patio, and everything cool for the pool. For just 15 cents a day, you could pay for the cost of membership in only one trip. Sam's Club $15 summer memberships are good through Labor Day, so hurry. The sooner you join, the longer you save. Join today at Sam's Club or samsclub.com/summer.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. What went wrong? The Nuggets have until tomorrow night to figure it out after a 105-103 loss to the Lakers in Game 1.
Yeah, there's no moral victories in playoff basketball. You know, we're going to be, the next 48 hours are going to be difficult. We're going to try to regroup and re-energize.
Denver coach George Karl, the Nuggets led through most of the game but fell behind in the final minutes. Game 2 is tomorrow night in L.A. Tuition's going up at CU this fall. CU spokesman Ken McConnellogue.
We believe these are modest increases, and we know that any increase right now is difficult for Colorado families, but it's important for us to ensure access to the university.
Regents were authorized to improve an increase of up to 9%, but voted for lower increases for the school's campuses in Boulder, Denver, and Colorado Springs. Rockies fall to the Braves 8-1. Same teams in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're seeing volume really start to build on the southbound side of 225 as you're making the Parker curve up towards Yosemite. Speeds are going to drop into the teens and 20s in spots. We're also seeing big time delays southbound I-25 coming in from Thornton, Northland. Again, speeds in the 20-mile-an-hour range from just past 120th all the way down to 84th. We'll break loose, but then you'll tap your brakes again downtown. Now, as far as crashes go, just had one of those early on. So for the time being, it's a decent start to this morning's commute. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
The drama of the Eastern Conference Finals is about to unfold on TNT. LeBron looks to extend the Cavs to playoff perfection, while Orlando is out to prove that they're championship material. Magic Cavaliers Game 1, tonight at 6, only on TNT.
Hey, Tom Hartman here to tell you about another proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Are you embarrassed about your smile? You can do something about it. At Incredible Smiles, Dr. Lori Kemet blends technology, artistry, and personal care to enhance your smile and improve your dental health. Her team of professionals is known for their cosmetic results. They offer implants to replace missing teeth, fillings, crowns, cleans, partials, as well as dentures. Get your smile back at Incredible Smiles. For a complimentary consultation, call 303-77-SMILE or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
706, I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Going up into the mid-80s today. We're going to get back to this discussion about Bill Ritter's veto of that bill that would have allowed workers to get some access to unemployment benefits if and when they are locked out of their jobs by their employer. That happened late yesterday, so we are discussing that. But before we get back to that discussion, we have in studio with us Tim Jackson. He is the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. He is actually here after he biked here. So the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association actually rode his bike here. He's in training, and so we appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, David.
So before we get to a little bit of a discussion about President Obama's announcement of new fuel efficiency standards and what that might mean for the auto industry and the not just the manufacturing industry but the dealers and the broader auto industry. Tell us what's going on in local terms, what this crisis in the auto industry in particular means on a local basis, and what the economic crisis, I mean, you got two crises going on. You got a crisis in the auto industry in specific, and you've got a broader consumer crisis where people just aren't buying as much right now. What does that mean in local terms, in Colorado terms, for this economy right here?
Sure. Well, David, overall, we're off about 50% in sales.
From when?
Compared to this time last year. And last year wasn't necessarily a great year. We should point out that really, and I've got data there in front of you that demonstrates that we lose a few car sales every year, year in and year out, in good years and in bad, and that's probably a lot of people are surprised about that. But the main reason for that, and we were off 30% going into last year before last year was a horrendous year, the quality of the new car product today is much better than it was 20 years ago, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, now even 5 years ago. The quality continues to improve. And where the culture, when I got my first car or 20 or 30 years ago, say, a lot of people would buy a new car every 2 or 3 years, whether they needed it or not. They bought a new car just so they'd be in the latest model, the latest style, and so forth. Now the culture has completely shifted, and it's really a car for life.
Mm-hmm.
And the average age of the fleet, this is the most surprising statistic that we have, the average age of the fleet is 9.2 years. It's over 9 years old. So basically, when you get out on I-25 or I-70, you're going to the mountains, every other car you meet is over 9 years old. And that's the oldest fleet. We've got the oldest fleet on record. And
here in Colorado or nationally?
That's a national number. But I think our numbers here would probably mirror that.
Right.
And so really, people buy their cars for life. The most frequent question I get from the media is, why do people keep their cars so long? And it's a very basic answer. It's a three-word answer. Because they can.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to trade. Where it used to be somebody, if they'd either trade it in or pass it down, now they keep it forever or pass it down or pass it up.
Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's a good thing for consumers, and you're right. And we should point that out.
It's not just good for the consumers, by the way. It's good for the environment. I mean, there's a whole environmental argument that, hey, you know, when you make a car, you're using a lot of material, it takes a lot of energy to actually build the car, and I wonder if ultimately, if we look down the road 10-20 years from now, whether the auto industry starts making more of its money on maintenance and replacement parts, etc., than on new car sales.
Well, and you raise a good point, and we do. I mean, the service business is what's keeping the new car dealer in business right now, because they're not making it on the new car side. But as far and you raise a good point on the energy it takes to build the new car. But the newer the car, the more fuel efficient and the better on the environment. In fact, a new car is really a clean car compared to a car of just 15 years ago. If you take a pre-1994 car compared to a new car on the showroom today, if you wanted to improve air quality and you're saying, well, take this off the road or take that off the road, you'd have to take 100 new cars off the road that are in the showroom today for every one of the old car when it comes to ozone or particle. Ozone.
So wait, let me get this straight. A pre-1994 car, what you're saying is it pollutes as much in terms of air pollution, ozone,
particle emissions,
as 100 new cars.
Correct.
The typical new car. I'm not talking about the Hummer.
The average new car.
The average new car. I mean, that's an amazing statistic.
Right. And even the Hummer. I mean, we can pick on the Hummer all we want as far as being the poster child of inefficiency.
Right.
Yep. Some of the new Hummer products, the H3, for example, is a 20 mile per gallon vehicle. But even the Hummer is clean as far as particle emissions.
Right.
There's a local expert on this, Don Stedman, who's a professor at DU. He's really the brains behind the drive-by emissions test. He's the brains behind the rapid screen test. And if he were here, he would tell you that really less than 5% of the overall fleet creates over 75 or as much as 75% of the air quality problems. And it's the old cars, not the new cars. He calls them the low-hanging fruit because they're not free to take off the road, but they're relatively inexpensive compared to the new.
Well, because there's
cars.
Just doesn't sound like there's. It's a relatively small amount of the fleet that
is
causing at least the air pollution problems. We're talking to Tim Jackson. He is the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, and I'm looking at the numbers here. And in Colorado in 2007, it says here that there were 175,000 new vehicle registrations in 2007. In 2008, 145,000 new vehicle registrations. That's down about 54%, just to put some numbers on there. Okay, so let's talk about President Obama's announcement yesterday about new fuel standards. He is basically saying that cars will be required to get an average of 35.5 miles per gallon by 2016. What is your take on what this means for the industry? And I'll preface this by saying that I know that the arguments tend to be, and maybe they've changed, but they tend to be, well, any mandate like this is bad for the auto industry, it's bad for business, it's just going to hurt the auto industry. Do you subscribe to that, or do you see this as potentially a mandate that will compel the entire industry to change? I mean, my take is that if you take an industry and you make a mandate that's standard, that everybody has to play by, you're not necessarily, and you give them enough time, everybody enough time to get there, you're not really favoring any one company over the other if there's enough time for everybody to adapt. What's your take?
Well, I agree with your tenets on that, and I prescribe to that theory, basically. But this is a ramped-up time frame. The new CAFE standards actually were signed into law by President Bush before he went out of office,
right,
in December 15 of 07. Which called for the 35 mile per gallon standard. They've upped it a little bit to the 35.5, but it gave the industry until 2020 to get there. So the Obama administration has done two things. They've ratcheted up a little bit, a half a percent, which may not sound like a lot, but it's a very tough standard to meet, so that makes it tougher. And they've pulled it forward 4 years. In other words, they've said, you've got to ramp this technology up fast to make this happen. And what it, the industry, by the way, David, supports it. I mean, most of the auto executives stood with the president on this, even as the environmental groups stood with the president on this.
Mm-hmm.
And for there were trade-offs, and there was a win in this for the auto industry, and that is that it will dictate a single standard, a single national standard, as opposed to a patchwork around the country. And for us and for the industry, that was very, very important. To the extent global warming is an issue, and we do believe it's an issue, to the extent that it's an issue, it is a global issue, and you're not going to fix it by state standards or county by county or city by city. We were literally looking at as many as 3,000 different localized standards had that effort been allowed to continue. And no manufacturer, whether it be Toyota, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, no manufacturer would have been able to meet that. So this was a trade-off, and that's why the industry came in support of it.
We're talking to Tim Jackson. He's the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. Let's take a break, and can you stick around for another segment? Okay, we're going to take a break. It's 7:16. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, going up into the mid-80s. We're going to take a break, get back with Tim Jackson. I want to ask him a couple more questions about the auto industry in this state, in Colorado, and then we will get back to the phones after that. So stick around. Let's get John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic is looking pretty good for us. No accidents on the freeways around town. Only thing I'm seeing is a blip there on US 85 at Meadows Parkway. That's down there by Castle Rock there at Founders. Jams up north, though. Southbound I-25, busy for you, leaving North Glen 120th down to 84th. Again, from I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Now it's also really stacking and slowing down on 225 and Aurora. Southbounders are going to see speeds in the teens and 20s. Parker Road down to 25. Also busy for northbounders there from the spillway up to about Mississippi. Eastbound C-470 filling in. Wadsworth to Santa Fe, again, from Broadway to 25, maybe dealing with some sun glare issues as well this morning. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the mid to upper 80s. Your current downtown temperature is 64 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The new DexKnows.com. Now you can narrow your search by...
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Or 303-423-1000.
How can we make you smile? Call Drain Solvers. 303-423-1000.
There are debt cures for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
This weekend, Ace is a place to save with over $140 in rebates, like buying Ace Royal Paint, starting at $21.99 a gallon and getting a $5 rebate, limit 10. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer for $9.99 can save you an extra 45% after a $4 rebate, limit 2. Or get a great deal on an Adirondack chair for $29.99. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
The Lodge Casino is your place for winning and great dining. Enjoy scrumptious choices at the all-you-can-eat Seasons Buffet. Plus, you can always count on playing the newest, most exciting games available. Log on to AM760.net right now for your chance to win a free night's stay and dinner certificates from the Lodge.
Say goodbye to rush hour traffic with TomTom's unique IQ Routes technology. Unlike ordinary GPS devices, TomTom uses actual drive times to find you the fastest way to get anywhere at any time. TomTom, go confidently.
Am I ever afraid to express my opinions?
Well, I live in a free country.
No.
That's why.
I'm probably a little hesitant sometimes, depending on who I'm with.
I've seen a lot of people in general discuss, you know, tightening their belts.
Frivolities.
Coffee. I have had to cut back on coffee because of the recession.
Which sucks. I go through caffeine withdrawals, but
I'm just thankful to have a job.
It's harder to get a job.
That has saved me like $4 a day.
I'm kind of worried.
I'd like to think that the economy is getting better.
AM 760.
I feel like this is a great time for Americans to kind of hunker down and get back to basics.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking to Tim Jackson. He is the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, and we were just rapping about different cars, and I told him, you know, I have a Subaru Outback, and I have a Saturn, and my Saturn is about 7 or 8 years old, and the Subaru Outback's about 4 years old, and the main reason I wouldn't trade in or buy a new car is mainly because I don't want another car payment, right? I've paid off the cars. I don't want to get another car payment and start over that whole process. But I will say there, I went to the auto show. I've never been to an auto show. I went to the auto show recently, and man, there were some really cool cars there. The Honda Insight car, that the new one, it's really, really cool. And you're telling me you drive a VW,
Driving the new Jetta, TDI diesel Jetta.
Yeah.
And it's getting well over 40 miles per gallon highway and over 30 in town. And I'm usually in town because I live in town, mm-hmm. and I work in town, I run errands in town, go to meetings in town. It's getting hybrid-type mileage without being a hybrid.
Do you think diesel's coming back?
Diesel is coming back, yes. And most of the manufacturers are looking at diesel. You have to have diesel products for the heavy trucks and medium-duty
right.
trucks. But
why is that? Just an engine? That's like some sort of horsepower issue?
It's a fuel. It's really on the big units. It's a durability and efficiency issue, and without a doubt, the over-the-road trucking companies are interested in fuel efficiency because it's a huge issue as far as a cost center for them to drive their vehicles.
Right. So diesel's making a comeback, and I said before the break that I was under the impression, although I knew things had changed, but that my old, you know, some synapse fired in my brain saying, well, isn't it, you get better fuel efficiency, but it used to be, you get better fuel efficiency, but it was dirty. in terms of air quality. And you're telling me that they are basically dealing with this and that they're dealing with it in terms of conventional diesel. And then there's the whole issue of, and I think I'm right, most diesel engines, if not all, will run biodiesel as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the trend is toward more capacity toward biodiesel. But biodiesel is, that's, while it may sound like a tight definition, there's really not a tight definition of biodiesel. So you have to get into what is the content of the biodiesel. So that's where the rub is. You know, ultimately, you'd like to be able to say, you know, let's run it on the frying pan grease out of a restaurant.
Right.
But you've got to know what's going into that to make up the content. And I think,
but my point is that a diesel engine that runs conventional diesel will run most of the time some kind of biodiesel. I mean, my friend, I'll give you an example. On my book tour last time, my friend met me up in Burlington, Vermont, and we drove down to, where was it? New Haven, Connecticut. And he's a friend since I was in eighth grade. He brings up his dad's 1984 Mercedes. And it's running on, he's got it to run on some kind of frying pan oil or something. And we drove all the way down and it was perfectly fine.
Right. And you can do that. The issue for the manufacturers and for the industry on that is knowing what's going into it, because they have to be able to handle their service and their warranty and so forth.
Right.
So if you burn something up in it that doesn't work.
Right.
Then it becomes a problem. But yeah, we're moving, and the point, and I think that we started out with on that is the cleanliness of it.
Even conventional diesel.
Conventional diesel. Which the conventional diesel today is different than conventional diesel of just 3 years ago. The sulfur has been removed. And now, even you could take a semi tractor, an over the road truck, if you will, and have it out here in the parking lot. We do a white paper towel test. Put a white sheet of white paper over the exhaust, which the exhaust pipe is about 6 inches wide. Let it sit there and run idle on a high RPM for 5 minutes. Take it off, and you can't tell. And put them side by side with the new, and you wouldn't be able to tell which one was over.
Well, so now that we're going down this, let me just ask this question, because I may be, you know, I'm not really a car nerd. But all due respect, I love car nerds. I love nerds in general. And so let me just ask a question. You have to be a car nerd in your job. That's like your job. So if you were actually, if somebody came to you and said, listen, I want to buy, a really fuel efficient, I don't want to buy a sports car. I want to buy the most practical car. Like, it's fuel efficient. It's good for the environment. Which car would you, you've got a lot of dealers that you represent, so I would ask this.
I can give you some examples.
Give me some examples, but then would you say conventional hybrid or would you say diesel?
Well, I think today that would be a toss-up, and I was going to say in the top five, you'd have obviously the Prius-type Honda, the Insight-type, the Prius-type Toyota, the Insight-type Honda, and now Ford, the new Ford Fusion Hybrid.
That's right, I saw that.
It's just an amazing vehicle, and this is a domestic vehicle. I drove one on the Denver rollout for this product, and it's an amazing vehicle. It gets 41 miles per gallon city and 37 highway, and I've had a lot of people say, wait a minute, it gets better efficiency in the city? Yes, because it's running more on the electric engine, less on the combustion engine in the city. So that would have to be probably today in the top five. The VW Jetta, and then probably throw in something that's a more conventional car, but just really high efficiency, like a Nissan Versa, a Toyota Yaris, a Honda Fit.
I drove a Nissan Altima Hybrid, which I think I was told that they only had them in California for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe they rolled them out there. And I don't know what the status of that car is, but what I do know is that I'd driven a Prius before, and they're great. But what was amazing about this car was that it literally sounded like a golf cart in the city. Like, it sounded like I couldn't believe it was a regular car. And then you hear it kick in when it needed the engine when we went up. But in the city, it's like sounding like a golf, and it was peppy. And I was so impressed because I had driven – the only hybrid I had driven before was like the first version of the Prius, which is a great car.
Right.
But this was like – this seemed to me that we're now in like hybrid 2.0, right? We're really – now
fine-tuning them.
Right.
Well, yeah, and Toyota's, for example, is on their third or fourth generation hybrid. Honda's on at least its third generation hybrid. You're going to see hybrid products really in all manufacturers have hybrids in the pipeline, even Porsche. You'll be able to get by a Porsche Cayenne hybrid. In fact, that's not so far away. You'll be able to buy a Mercedes hybrid, a BMW hybrid, and all of those have also clean diesels in the pipeline.
And let me ask you this question then, because when I was looking originally at cars a couple of years back, and we're talking to Tim Jackson, the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, when I was looking, there was this issue with, didn't the Honda Accord take some of the fuel efficiency that it had? There's an Accord hybrid, and the rap on it was that they took the fuel efficiency from the hybrid energy savings and put it more into horsepower than into basically efficiency. In other words, they took the hybrid. There's this issue where you can actually take the energy you're saving with the hybrid and decide where to put it. You're going to put it into thrust, or are you going to save it? And some of the rap on some of this stuff is that some of the companies on some of their models have taken the hybrid savings and put it into making it a faster car as opposed to a more efficient car. Do I have that right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, there's some creed to that anyway, David, because of public demand. In other words, yeah, I want a hybrid.
Right. No.
But I want it to be able to perform.
No, that's right. I'm not blaming the companies as much.
Right.
I'm just asking that there is this, when you're shopping for a car, you got to know what you want, because
exactly.
A hybrid, it's not just, you know, there's just a hybrid and there's not a hybrid. There's some hybrids that take the efficiencies and they put it into more thrust. And there's
that's
some
right.
hybrids that say, hey, the only thing we're aiming for, it's not going to be a very peppy car, but you're going to get a lot of miles to the gallon on this.
Correct. And you're exactly right. And obviously, that we're now, since we are on third and fourth generation hybrids, the technology continues to improve. When you align a clean diesel like the Jetta has with a hybrid like the, say, the Prius or the Insight or the Fusion has, we're not too far away from the capabilities of 60 to 70 miles.
Well, I was going to ask that. Is there a car out there that actually fuses diesel and hybrid?
Not yet, but they're in the pipeline. I mean, they're in the planning stages.
And as you said, that 60 to 70 miles a gallon at that point, if you can get on a diesel 40 miles to the gallon.
40 plus, yes.
40 plus. And you can get on a high, you know, that's just diesel. You're not, no sort of retrofitting of the brakes to recover energy. It's
right.
Just no battery stuff. You combine diesel with the battery.
Correct.
And you can start really boosting this stuff. And that's really, to me, is really exciting, that there's technology that we already know is out there. It's just a matter of melding them. And then so I have to ask you, we're talking to Tim Jackson of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. Diesel's been out for a while. Hybrid technology has been out longer than it's been in a car. I mean, we've been perfecting it. Diesel's
Correct.
Been around forever.
Right.
What's taken us so long to get to this place?
Well, part of it is, you know, everybody says they want to be green.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think Toyota, for example, has pulled a lot of people into their showroom to look at the Prius, and those same people left with something else. Because they say they want to be green, but when they see the premium on the vehicle, the cost premium to get into the extra fuel efficiency, whether it is a Prius hybrid versus a Toyota Yaris or Corolla, whether it's a Honda Civic Hybrid versus just a Honda Civic, whether it's a VW Jetta TDI diesel versus just a VW Jetta, there's going to be a couple of $3,000 difference upwards, and some models of $8,000 to $10,000 difference because of the technology costs of the hybrid. And we find that people are not necessarily as green as they thought they were when they came into the showroom.
You know, it's really interesting because you know, I'm reading here, and this is from friend of the show, Christy Harvey, sent over some stats about this, that with this new fuel efficiency standards, for instance, consumers may pay roughly $1,300 more per car under the new standard, but the average American driver will end up saving about $2,800 over the life of their car. That's according to ABC News. You know, I wonder if, right, you got to put in $1,300 more to buy more, because you got to buy the technology up front, but you're going to save it. I wonder if there's any talk of creating some sort of way where because of the way consumers think, where you can actually offer the savings up front. I mean, there's got to be a way, either maybe through just straight up education. Hey, spend the money up front, you're going to get it back. But the problem is that we're all so trained in this market economy to always look for what's the best deal, what's coming out of my pocket, make it there. Right. And that works, you know, that works. Airline prices, you want to look for the best deal. How is the auto industry, or how are dealerships, for instance, trying to make that case to consumers? I mean, how tough a nut is that to crack?
Well, and keep in mind, we'll sell the car whether they want to buy the hybrid or the non-hybrid,
right.
The clean diesel or the non-clean diesel. But we do witness it. I think, and I'm not sure what all Christie's information has, but the $1,300 premium, really, or differential, if you will, the cost factor, when these new CAFE standard rules are implemented, is probably going to be on the low end when it comes to the full-size pickup van or SUV, like a lot of Coloradans buy.
And you mean it'll be more?
It'll be a lot more than that.
Because it's going to take so much to get a bigger size car, a van, a truck, to meet these standards.
Right. And what the CAFE standard is an acronym for Corporate Average Fuel Economy. So that's the entire average of that corporation's new products going into the showrooms in the U.S. So a GM, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, VW, Mercedes, BMW, and we'll stop there, all the brands, will all have to meet a corporate average fuel economy of 35.5 miles per gallon. That's the average. So if they're going to still sell the full-size vehicles that won't come close to getting that, they have to find a way to move people to the smaller cars as well at the same time to offset it. So there will be a major cost differential on the full-size vehicle versus the economy vehicle.
That's right.
And that will help take away the premium on the Prius, if you will.
That's right. We're talking to Tim Jackson. He is the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. Okay, can you stick around one more?
Sure.
One more segment? Okay,
no.
Great. Fantastic. So we're going to continue talking to Tim Jackson of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. We'll have him around for one more segment. If you want to call in and ask a question, anything about the auto industry, about what's going on here in the state, about cars, give us a call, 303-713-7600. And then, as promised, we'll get back to our discussion about Governor Ritter's veto of the bill that would have provided or allowed locked-out workers to at least apply for unemployment benefits.
Can I update you on that, David?
Yeah, sure.
Edward Cass, Representative Ed Cass, is going to join us at 8:20 after our guest.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so we're going to get the bill sponsor, Ed Casso, the representative who sponsored that bill that Governor Ritter vetoed, in the 8 a.m. hour. In the meantime, if you want to ask Tim Jackson, the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, any question you want about the auto industry in general, about the auto industry in Colorado, about any car you're thinking about buying, any car questions, we'll put them right on the spot here. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Back at you after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is pretty normal.
You have a nationwide column.
Pretty normal for us as we're kicking off the Wednesday morning commute. Actually, we're in the middle of it now. We are accident-free, though, on the freeways around town. Just the stop-and-go jams, normal spots around town. Southbound 225, Parker Road to 25. Southbound 25, also busy for us. No surprises in Northland, 120th down to 84th. Showing speeds in the 30s, maybe even the 20s. Also busy there after 58th, taking you into downtown. Westbound 36, starting to see more traffic. Folks heading towards Boulder, Sheridan to Wadsworth. Is going to be a hot spot for you. Also on the south end of town, look for some heavier traffic on C-470 westbound Bowles to 285 eastbound from Broadway to Quebec. Things starting to loosen up there in the Littleton side there at Wadsworth. Forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm with a high around 86. Afternoon thunderstorms on tap as well. Right now, 65 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Last chance to lock in last spring's low-rate Rocky Mountain Superpass Plus, only $49 down. Get unlimited skiing and riding at Winter Park and Copper Plus 6 days at Steamboat. The $49 down offer is over May 31st. Get yours at select Christie Sports Stores or SkiColorado.com.
Planting some trees this spring? Choose the right nursery.
You know, Memorial Day coming up. Here's a thought. Let's take a break from the economy and put it in the rearview mirror with a road trip. Start by heading over to Advance Auto Parts, where they've got 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. That's a complete oil change to get you ready to hit the road for less than $15. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
Your employer or the insurance you pay for won't help you out, then you need to see Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. These guys are pit bulls, and they will fight corporations and insurance companies down to the last mile. Give them a call. They're Progressive Trial lawyers, and they do a great job. 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com. That's 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America, and it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage Program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 Arl Polk data.
This grilling season, treat yourself with a tantalizing trek through the land of lean beef. Reward your taste buds with a romp through our sizzling scenery and enjoy the majesty of a mouth-watering tenderloin grilled to postcard perfection. Take in the enticing aroma that beckons, wish you were here. Discover the power of protein in the land of lean beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
This Memorial Day weekend at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. Buy a grill or patio furniture and you could save three ways. One, with our low prices. Two, with deferred financing. Keep your cash and pay later. Three, entertain at home versus going out. Special deferred financing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th. U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking to Tim Jackson. He's the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. We're talking about President Obama's new announcement about fuel efficiency standards, speeding up the timetable and slightly raising the fuel efficiency standards in the United States. You can find more about the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. You guys have a website. What is it?
ColoradoDealers.org.
ColoradoDealers.org. As we mentioned earlier, the industry here in the state is, at the dealership level certainly, is hurting. Sales of new cars down 54%. Tim was telling us that people are holding on to the cars that they have a lot longer, and that actually the servicing and maintenance of cars is what is helping to float some of the dealerships, and that's a good thing. Before we get to the phones, we'll take some of your calls, 303-713-7600. How many dealers are going to be affected by this announcement by Chrysler and GM that they're going to probably cut out a certain number of dealerships?
Right. Well, just in the first round, and I think only the first shoe has dropped on each, but Chrysler announced last Thursday, and this is in their bankruptcy courthouse filing, okay, that they're going to eliminate 789 new car dealers around the country that sell the Chrysler brands, and those brands are Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge. And that's 789 out of about 3,200 dealerships, so about a fourth. But they had originally said they want to get down to 1,550 dealerships. So that's why I say this is only the first shoe to drop. In Colorado, I can give you the exact numbers on these. We have 44 of our 270 dealers in the state sell Chrysler brands, and that's either Chrysler, Jeep, or Dodge. Of those, 29 are Dodge dealers, 30 are Chrysler dealers, and 31 are Jeep dealers. 14 of those 44, roughly a third, were terminated or notified that they would be terminated by June the 9th. Now, David, that's a tough deal in as much as each of those dealerships will have a capital investment. Those dealers will have a capital investment in those locations of anywhere from $15 to $30 million. And it's bad enough to have your business shut down that you've got invested $15 to $30 million. Some of them, that is their life savings.
Right.
And some of them, they inherited it, so it's the accumulation of the last three or four generations. What is really appalling about it is that Chrysler plans to come back in and replace some of those locations with newly appointed dealers later, post-bankruptcy. So on the other side of bankruptcy, we'll have dealers out there who lost their whole operations, maybe had to file bankruptcy themselves because of it, and somebody just was handed the keys to the business, didn't have to pay anything for the granting of the franchise.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's appalling.
And gross.
It is.
Yeah, that's really gross.
It fumes me. Should I be fumed over that?
Yeah, you should be. Absolutely. We're talking to Tim Jackson, the president of Colorado Auto Dealers Association. All right, we're going to open up the phones here. If you got any questions about cars, car dealerships, the car industry here in Colorado, now's the time to give us a call, 303-713-7600. Noah and Thornton, you're on AM 760.
Hey, I just want to say that when you guys are worried about, you know, whether or not the auto dealerships can come up with those savings and still provide cars that Americans need, we don't need to look any further than Europe to see that, you know, we just need to change the way, the type of engines that we drive. When he's talking about turbo diesels and stuff like that, we could just go and switch more to turbo diesels and have big cars that could get phenomenal gas mileage, and we could do that next year. The reason why we don't do that is the auto industry has been dragging their feet for years. And I commend the fact that he drives a turbo diesel, but we could have minivans and large vans running around with straight six or V6 turbo diesels and get twice the gas mileage that they have now.
And that brings up a good question. I mean, we hear this a lot, and I think there's something to it, that the auto industry has dragged its feet on making change. But I wonder how much of that, I mean, this is the old question of, is it the automaker's fault for making cars that weren't more fuel efficient, or is it the public's fault, the consumer's fault, for not demanding? I mean, there's this whole thing is when you advertise, you're creating demand, or are when you make a product, are you simply appeasing demand? You know, it's a symbiotic relationship, right?
Right. Well, and certainly the large vehicles, pickups, vans, and SUVs that happen to be pretty popular in the state of Colorado. About half the vehicles we sell in Colorado fit in that category. Those vehicles are the ones that are, you know, tougher on the fuel economy. It's tougher to get where Noah thinks we can get. If it were easy, why wouldn't they be doing it? In other words, wouldn't it put GM, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, and let's stop there, and all the others, at a competitive advantage if they could do the full-size SUV with 35 miles
okay,
per gallon?
But to go back on that point, which is that there's an innovation thing. There's a willingness to take risk. There's a willingness to say, hey, we know we're doing okay on this car, but we're going to put out this one and take a risk, a calculated risk, that if we put out one and put some investment in making it more fuel efficient, it will actually sell more. And I think that's the criticism of the auto industry, is that they didn't make the right calculated decisions and put that they dragged their feet. Now, but again, I want to be clear that I also think that we as a society are all culpable too. When we walk into the auto dealership
ask for a car that we know is not fuel efficient just because we want to basically drive around a living room, if you will. That's partly, we're partly at fault later on when we get upset that it's not fuel efficient. All right, let's get another call. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to grab as many calls as we can here. Let's go to Brian in Longmont. Brian.
I work in the environmental industry at a lot of the oil and gas companies out on the Western Slope, and I know for Rocky Mountain gas assets, we've got a overabundance of shale gas that we're developing here in Colorado as well as regionally. And I'm wondering what the auto industry here in Colorado locally, as well as nationally, is able to do, and if there are any thoughts that they're taking steps towards measurements towards retrofitting vehicles for using that natural gas here locally rather than having to build the infrastructure of pipelines to get it from Rocky Mountain states out to the other larger gas markets.
No, that's an excellent question, and we have been in meetings. I've personally been on several meetings with state legislators, and the governor's office and others. In fact, there was a bill passed this year, House Bill 1331, which will incentivize the conversion of vehicles to CNG, or it's basically a fuel efficiency standard on the state level. That bill has passed and I believe has been signed into law by the governor. It either was signed in last week or will be signed into law. It's an excellent issue because CNG, compressed natural gas, this is kind of the T. Boone's Pecking model, if you will. He's been advocating, wind energy, solar energy, and compressed natural gas energy for vehicles. And we do have state legislators on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the continental divide, on both sides of the political spectrum, who have been real advocates for this. And I'll even point them out if I can. Chris Romer here in Denver, a downtown Denver Democrat, and Josh Penry, a Western Slope Republican, have teamed up on this. They want to be able to incentivize CNG. Now, there are issues with it, but I think the industry overall is supportive of CNG. And, in fact, Honda has a CNG vehicle in the showrooms. I think one Honda dealer has two CNG vehicles in inventory right now. But, by the way, part of the problem on this new that type of technology, David, is getting the vehicles fueled. And the people that have bought the CNG vehicles from the Honda dealers, Honda was going to make 100,000 of them. They committed to 100,000 last summer last spring. And then because of the run-up in the fuel prices, everybody was buying these Honda Civics. They couldn't build them fast enough. They couldn't commit any longer to 100,000, so they built 10,000. Some of those have gone to Colorado, and some of them are sitting on the lots right now because people can't.
There's not the distribution system.
The
fuel distribution system.
Correct. That's an issue right now. And by the way, the training that they do on that and the resources they give you to go home with is to plug it into your natural gas line at home. But literally, you have to sit there. It has to fuel overnight. So there are issues there.
With the fuel
right.
infrastructure. Now, we're talking to Tim Jackson. He is the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. Can you stick around for the
Absolutely.
Last segment? All right, so we're going to end up stealing an hour from Tim Jackson. So if you're on the phones, hang on. We'll get to your calls after we get a traffic update from John Turk.
Thank you, David. Just cleaned up a crash eastbound 6th Avenue as you're approaching I-25. So it looks like things moving a little bit better there, but still some residual traffic back to Sheridan. Also stop and go, our heaviest jams right now. Southbound 225, Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. And on southbound 25, speeds in the teens and 20s. From I-70 past Spear Boulevard, starting to see things improve a little bit up in North Bend, beginning at 120th. Eastbound C-470, also a problem spot. Wadsworth again, Littleton, a trouble area, going to be really slow all the way down to Santa Fe, and then again after Broadway, taking you all the way up to Park Meadows Mall. Forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., then mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms in this afternoon. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. Right now we're at 65 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Beat the summer heat with low Walmart prices on everyone's favorite brands of ice cream. 48-ounce Breyers ice cream is just $2.57, 18-ounce Keebler Chips Deluxe for $2.50, and 24-ounce Hershey's chocolate syrup for $1.68. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Hey, this is Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. The solar electric systems installed by Independent Power Systems in 2008 alone prevented 530 tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere. Did you know that's the equivalent of planting more than 12,000 trees? Independent Power Systems also installed the solar electric system at Coors Field. Independent Power Systems, 303-443-0105, and online at www.solaripsi.com.
Proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Do you have missing teeth? Get a permanent solution. Dr. Lori Kemet and her associates at Incredible Smiles have new scanning technology to accurately place implants in the densest part of the bone without the need for exploratory incisions. Eliminate loose partials or painful dentures. Replace missing teeth without bridges. Get incredible implants at Incredible Smiles. Call now for a complimentary consultation. 303-77-SMILE. Or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
7:54, now's the time we talk to Mike Spear, the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage, 303-749-2770. Again, 303-749-2770, www.presidentialbrokerage.com. We've been talking this morning about the auto industry as one of those telltale signs of the broader economy, and as is what's going on in the market. So, Mike, what's going on?
Well, we've got another update in the market here at KKZ Man. No, KKZN Man.
KKZN Man, that's right.
The Dow's up 93 points right now. The comp, NASDAQ Composite's up 22. The S&P is up 13 and a third. And the Marvin, a.k.a. the Russell's, up 8 points. So we're seeing a pretty good up day after having a down week last week. It's nice to have some refreshing up days. And there are a number of ways to take advantage of it. Some in the market, some away from the market. If you'd like to know ideas on both sides of it, there are some great sectors right now, some sectors of the market that are looking very strong, that if you're looking to get into the market, you should know about them, and you better be putting your money that's going into the market into these particular sectors. If you'd like to talk about that and learn where they are, give us a call,
303-749-2770. 303-749-2770. Mike Spear, he is the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. And as he always says, and I will just reiterate here, don't just think your money's doing okay sitting there. You got to have somebody watching it for you and putting it in the right place. www.presidentialbrokerage.com. Mike Spear, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, David.
Hi, Ashton Ritchie from Scotts here with homeowner Brad Oakley. What's your writing there, Brad?
An apology note to my neighbor.
Oh, what happened?
Dandelions happened, all over my lawn. Now those fluffy white seeds are blowing all over my neighbor's lawn.
Well, dandelions are trouble. They don't just look bad, they also steal essential nutrients from your lawn. Luckily, they're Scott's Turf Builder Plus 2.
That'll stop the dandelions?
Absolutely. It's formulated to kill dandelions and other tough weeds. And unlike bargain brands, it has no filler. So every single granule delivers 100% food and weed-killing power.
Sounds like a surefire way to kill those dandelions.
It is, and since Turf Builder also feeds your grass, you'll get a thicker, greener Turf Builder lawn.
Great. But what about my neighbor?
I'd pick up a bag for him, too. With dandelions popping up, this weekend is the perfect time to put down a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Plus 2. This is Ashton Ritchie. See you in the yard.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Okay, we're back with Tim Jackson, president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. We got time for one call because I screwed up the time clock here. Andy and Thornton, you got about 30 seconds. Fire away.
Yes, my name is Andy, and I just wanted to talk about the dealer consolidation, and that it not only affects the dealers here in Colorado, but the Big Three actually have numerous parts distribution centers out here in Denver that it's affecting our employees of GM, Chrysler, and Ford out here.
What about that? What about consolidation? How bad has it been? Got about 10 seconds.
we're going to lose a third of our Chrysler dealers. We expect about 13 to 15 GM dealers out of about 90, so roughly about 20%. So it's a huge impact on jobs. Nationally, it's 180,000 jobs lost.
Okay, thank you very much. Stick around. Top of the news now.
Attention, Colorado residents. This is an important consumer alert.
Hi, folks. I'm Michael Mack.
And I'm Chris Gottsmer.
We are the credit card lawyers of Colorado. If you're in credit card debt, bankruptcy and hiring a debt settlement company are not your only options. In fact, did you know that credit card debt can be wiped out in as little as 60 days without bankruptcy? Call 800-877-5000 and learn how to qualify. Now more than ever, credit card companies will work with Colorado residents to actually forgive most of your debt without bankruptcy. And unlike bankruptcy and debt settlement scams, no upfront fees are required. You can get started on this program without paying a dime in fees. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000. TheCreditCardLawyers.com. TheCreditCardLawyers.com.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. A successful test of an Iranian missile with a range of 1,200 miles is raising new concerns in Israel, the United States, and Europe. Former Bush administration official Juan Zarate is a CBS News national security analyst.
The challenge to the international community is how to interpret these actions, because it's clear that the Iranians are not responding with flowers and candies to the approach of the West and others to talk.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The Iranian missile launch comes just 2 days after President Obama's threat to seek more serious international sanctions if Iran rejected calls for talks on its nuclear program. U.S. officials are reviewing Iran's statements and intelligence on the launch itself, but it's already seen as a direct response to the president's diplomatic outreach.
The New York Times says ammunition found on Taliban fighters in Afghanistan was identical to what the Afghan army received from the United States. CBS News foreign affairs analyst Jerry Van Dyke says some Afghan soldiers give ammunition away because they fear they or their families could be killed. Others may do it for money.
Soldiers receive very poor salaries themselves, and here you have all these munitions, all these arms, all this materiel coming in from the West. The temptation to sell this to the Taliban would be tremendous.
And just in, officials have confirmed the deaths of at least two of the five people who were on a Navy helicopter that went down off San Diego last night. All the money parents spend on college entrance exam prep courses, is it worth it? CBS's Steve Kathan takes a look.
A new report from the National Association for College Admission Counseling is critical of the growing test prep industry.
If Z and T are negative integers,
plenty of students use the courses for math and verbal tests. The report finds claims that scores can be raised often come with no hard evidence, and mock SAT tests can be devised to show inflated scores when students take the actual exam. The report says for all they spend, most students see just modest improvement.
The White House is considering creation of a new federal agency to keep an eye on credit card companies, mortgage lenders, and other financial services companies. CBS MoneyWatch.com editor-at-large Jill Schlesinger.
This is going to be a very difficult road for the administration, because although there's obviously going to be more widespread Democratic support, you're going to get more moderate Democrats and Republicans who believe that regulation is anti-business, and at a time where we need business to resurge in as we come out of a recession, that increased regulation is not the way to go.
A nationwide manhunt is underway for a 13-year-old Minnesota boy who's suffering from cancer. Daniel Hauser's parents are opposed to court-ordered chemotherapy for religious reasons. The boy and his mother failed to show up for a court hearing yesterday. Jim Olson is the Brown County attorney.
It's absolutely crazy. It's very disappointing. We're trying to do what's right for this young man.
In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 101 points. This is CBS News.
Do you have to travel to be on summer vacation?
What about making home your vacation destination? At Lowe's, we say to find summer on your own terms, like changing your summer scenery by painting some rooms a new color. Right now, you can receive $5 off 1 gallon cans and $20 off 5 gallon buckets of qualifying Valspar paint via mail-in rebate. Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend to get everything you need to get your summer projects done. Lowe's, let's build something together. See store for details. Offers available 5/21 to 5/25. Offers valid in U.S. only.
Your lovely tree, attacked by insects. Stop them with the proven science of Bayer Advanced Tree and Shrub Protect and Feed. Its special dual-action formula delivers 12-month insect protection. Plus now, it provides slow-release feeding all in one easy step. Mix and pour the no-spray formula and your tree is shielded, roots to top, for stronger and more beautiful trees. We don't hate bugs, we just love trees. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. The Nuggets fell by a pair to the Lakers in L.A., a disappointing game one as Denver led most of the game. Nuggets coach George Karl.
In the first half, we hurt ourselves with missed free throws. Second half, we did a better job of making free throws.
Carmelo Anthony had 39 points. The Lakers' Kobe Bryant scored 40. Denver will try again tomorrow night in L.A. Congress is on track to pass legislation that would rein in credit card rate increases and fees. The Senate voted overwhelmingly in favor of the measure, including U.S. Senator Mark Udall.
This battle has been like the story of David versus Goliath, and David finally won.
The House is expected to follow suit as early as today. Trying to breathe fresh life into a tattered party.
The era of apologizing for Republican mistakes of the past is now officially over. It is done.
Republican Party Chair Michael Steele says it's time for a comeback, telling state party chairs they shouldn't be afraid to criticize President Obama if they want to regain relevance. Rockies fall to the Braves 8-1, same teams in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
An earlier accident on the southbound side of 225 right around Mississippi causing some delays as you're trying to get off of I-70. I-25 is a busy ride as you're coming in from Thornton and North Glen. You'll start to hit your brakes right around 120th up towards 84th. Brakes loose for just a little bit. Then they're trying to move a center lane stall on the southbound side of the highway near 58th, backing things up towards 76. Eastbound 6th Avenue starting to recover after they cleaned up a wreck that occurred near Federal. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new Everyday Value Menu. Grab a junior breakfast burrito and a small order of tater tots. Just $1 each. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good.
This weekend, Ace is a place to save with over $140 in rebates, like buying Ace Royal Paint, starting at $21.99 a gallon and getting a $5 rebate, limit 10. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer for $9.99 can save you an extra 45% after a $4 rebate, limit 2. Or get a great deal on an Adirondack chair for $29.99. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
806, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's going up to the mid-80s today. All right, here's what we're going to do in the 8 a.m. hour. On the line, we've got Keith Arnold. He is opening up, and he's the part owner of a couple restaurants in town. He's a friend of a friend. A friend of a friend introduced me to him. And we wanted to talk to him about what it's like to try to open a business, a new business, in this economic climate. So we're going to talk to him in a sec. And then after that, right after that, we're going to talk to Representative Edward Casso, who was the original sponsor of the bill that Governor Ritter vetoed yesterday, that unemployment bill, the bill that would have extended unemployment benefits to workers who get locked out. And then what we'll do after we talk to Ed Casso is we will go to the phones on that subject of Governor Ritter's pretty big, I would say, at least for Colorado News, blockbuster veto of this bill. But as I said, first what we're going to do here, and I've been looking forward to this interview, is we're going to talk to Keith Arnold. He is a part owner of three restaurants in town, and I don't speak French, so I don't know if I'm saying these right, Café Calor, Duo, and Olivia. I think I'm saying that right. That's his new venture.
Close enough, for sure.
Okay, good. That's his new, your new venture, just opening at 17th and Clarkson. And I want to point of full disclosure. I've never eaten at these restaurants, so I hope not offending you, Keith, by saying I have no idea if they're really great, or not great. What we wanted to talk to you about, as you know, but just for the audience to know, what we want to talk to you about is what it's really like to try to open up a new business venture here in the city, in terms of the regulatory loopholes you've got to go through, but also in terms of the economic climate. So you're a restaurant owner. Restaurants are typically on the front line of the economy in terms of, you know, when things go bad, a lot of people stop eating out. Tell us the kind of trepidation that you, as a typical small business owner, feel when you're moving into a new venture like this. How nervous are you? What do you tell yourself? How much worry have you gone through about whether or not to invest in this? And then, of course, then the question is, you know, how much of this economy, and I don't know if you can answer this, but how much of the economic crisis that we're in, how much of it is in part psychological in the fact that a lot of people don't want to go out there and risk themselves at such a risky time?
You know, I think that's a great point that you made at the end there. I feel like the doom and the gloom is generating a ton of fear. There's so many people out there that are making the same wage that they've made for the last few years. They've got the same amount of disposable income, but they're afraid to spend it. Oh, my, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, that kind of thing. But to get back to the first part of it, you know, we bought Cafe Calore 7 years ago. Duo's been open for almost 4 years. And I think we're more of the maybe on the fortunate side. Both restaurants were performing very well, even through this last winter. And the opportunity to open what's pronounced Olivea, it's Latin for olive.
Got it.
On Upper 17th, kind of presented itself. And it just seemed like everything clicked, and so we went ahead and took advantage of, you know, the price of the business that we were able to negotiate and the lease and so on and so forth. We had a great team in place. We partnered with John and Jasmine, who are a married couple that are our executive chef and pastry chef of Duo, and so we had a great team in place, and so we went ahead and optimistically moved forward on it. So, you know, we had momentum. We had two businesses that were still putting up numbers that were even to last year. That kind of thing that gave us confidence to go ahead and make the decision to move forward with Olivea.
And the restaurant industry is really it's one of the one of the toughest businesses to really be in at any time. What can you say? I mean, what do you tell people? What would you tell people who are thinking about opening up any kind of business right now here in Denver, again, in terms of what kind of hoops you have to go through here on the Front Range specifically?
Right.
And then also, what would you tell people about any tips about what you need to do, particularly in this economic climate right now, that you have to be particularly nervous about? You know, tight credit, what are some tips there?
You bet. You know, I mean, I guess I have my own philosophy of you know, the bad rap, if you will, of, you know, 9 out of 10 restaurants close. And, you know, I do feel like there's an element of, this fairy tale of, I've got a little extra money. I'm going to open a restaurant. It's fun. It's entertaining. All you do is show up at 5 o'clock and see all your friends and you eat and give wine away. And it's glorious. Well, you know, with a margin of 5, 6, 7%, it's really not that glorious. You've got to work hard. You've got to be efficient. You've got to meet your costs, and you've got to be diligent about it every single day. And coming from the corporate side for the number of years, that's where I started in the restaurant business. You know, that's what they taught me. They taught me, you know, the efficiencies, the systems that allow you to meet your costs. And, you know, there can be a lot of fun and it's entertaining, and I can't see myself doing anything else. But if you're not meeting those costs, you're just not going to be in business. So, I guess the word is efficiency. You've got to run it efficient. And I think that in this economy, you know, a lot of business, whether it be a restaurant model or any other, without the kind of carte blanche, you know, business that was here, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years ago, even more so now, you've got to be running all, you know, all of your businesses, all of your costs in a very, very tight manner. And then, just like you said, you know, in this economy, when we opened Duo, it was fairly easy. There was property involved. We were able to buy the property, but the bank that we ended up using was streamlined. It was easy, more or less. It was like, yeah, how much do you need? You know, we're here for you. And we took a very modest loan to remodel Olivea, and I'll tell you what, it was like pulling teeth to get a small business loan.
That's really interesting. We're talking to Keith Arnold. He is a part owner of 3 restaurants here in Denver. The newest one, Olivea, yes. It's just opening on 17th and Clarkson. And we asked him to come on here just as an example of somebody who's who's opening a business in this very, very difficult economy. And it is really – so you've sensed a real change in terms of access to credit, a discernible change in terms of the hoops that you've had to go through to have access to credit. Has there been a corresponding change in how much credit after you go through the hoops that you can get?
You know, I guess I was just more surprised with the relationship I had with the bank that we
it was
used.
The same bank.
It was.
And they so you're saying you actually went back to the same bank that you've been
right.
using. I guess we'll assume that you had good relationship with them, and it even with that it got harder.
You know, even with our past record, they still carry the property loan and the remodeling loan on Duo. You know, we're current. We keep our business account with them. They know our balances. Our balances are strong. Everything is in a positive situation, and they still were very gun shy and needed. Needed multiple guarantees and this and that, and they still were very reluctant to do a very modest business loan on.
So note to self, if you're thinking about making a new investment, a new business venture, if you can get your credit as clean and as polished as possible. I mean,
sure.
that's always my rule of thumb in general. But like, I get what you're saying is. Right now, especially. We're talking to Keith Arnold. He's the part owner of 3 restaurants in town, none of which, by the way, I want to be clear, none of which that I've eaten at. Is that right, the proper grammar? I have not eaten there. Yeah, I think that's right. But we asked him to come on just to give us a taste, no pun intended, of what it's like to be doing business and opening a business in this economic climate. When does Olivea, the newest restaurant on 17th and Clarkson, when does that open?
You know, we opened 3 weeks ago. We're just
so you're just open. So I guess the last question then would be is, you know, it's a tough economy right now. How are things going? And if they're going well, what do you attribute that to?
You know, I guess maybe right off the bat, I attribute it to maybe a reputation
of Duo the other restaurants.
Right, Duo has established itself and has gotten incredible media. And has a reputation for itself. And so the very few mentions we've got have always said, this is from the team of Duo. And so, you know, when I've got guests coming in the front door, they're saying, we love Duo. We're here to see what you're doing. And so certainly there's quite a bit of momentum with our reputation, I guess. And so from there, it's stemming out into the neighborhood, people that kind of watched us building and remodeling and repainting. You know, now they're poking their nose and say, oh, you know, you're finally open. Great. Welcome to the neighborhood, that kind of thing. But, you know, we've done no advertising, no now open sign, no, you know, none of that. You know, we're going to
rely on. You just opened it up.
Right. We're going to rely on more of a softer approach. It allows the staff to learn the menu, learn the operation, become more efficient and become great at their jobs without a potentially a line out the door with a big grand opening sign, that type of thing. But
Hey man, listen, good luck with it. I mean, really, good luck with the venture. It's a tough climate out there. I know the restaurant business is always tough. Really, good luck with it. And
thank you very much.
And fight the good fight. We need as many people right now to be well, not overzealously competent, but investing in the economy when they can. Keith Arnold, thanks so much, man.
Thank you very much.
That was Keith Arnold. He's the part owner of a couple restaurants in town, Cafe Colore, Duo, and Olivea. Again, just point of full disclosure, I've never eaten there. I've never been there. We asked him to come on just as a representative of what it's like to try to open a new business right now in this economy here in Denver. Okay, after the break, we're going to have Ed Casso, the representative from Thornton, on to talk about Governor Ritter's veto of his bill that would have extended unemployment benefits to workers who were locked out of their job by their employer. This simply would have restored a law that was on the books here in Colorado, and it's been on the books in many states, but it was repealed here in Colorado in 1999 by Governor Bill Owens, and now Governor Bill Ritter has essentially ratified Bill Owens' move by vetoing this bill. So we're going to talk to the bill sponsor after we get a traffic update with John Turk.
Bill Owens, Bill Ritter, what's the difference, Dave?
Well, that's exactly the point.
All right. Bill. The Governor Bill. All right, we've got a couple problems out on the highways around town. The first one is really messing things up. A center lane stall southbound I-25 there around downtown after I-70. It looks like they've just moved that off to the side of the highway, but still heavy, heavy jams coming into downtown. Also on southbound 225, got a bus and a couple of cars pulled off to the side of the road near Mississippi. That's causing jams all the way back to I-70, and it's also busy from Parker Road there to 25, so your only relief, Mississippi to Iliff. Also, busy eastbound I-70 there from 76 past Federal. Also on eastbound C-470 down in Littleton, Wadsworth to Santa Fe. Still a problem spot for us. And if you're traveling to Central City, Blackhawk today, US 6 shut down still between 119 and Colorado 58. They're working on the tunnels there, so you will have to use I-70 and then you have to use the parkway there to get into Gilpin County. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm with a high around 86 degrees. Afternoon thunderstorms on tap as well. Right now, 70 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
How long does a car battery last?
Planting some trees this spring? Choose the right nursery. Creekside Tree Nursery in Boulder. Since 1993, family-owned Creekside Tree Nursery has been offering customers superior quality trees, a solid warranty, outstanding customer service, and prices below their competition. Well worth a small drive to Boulder for this kind of quality and value if you live in Denver. No fancy sales, no gimmicks, just bigger, better trees. Creekside Tree Nursery. Visit us at creeksideboulder.com.
Your odometer. Does it have more than 50,000 miles on it? If so, it could be time to replace your shocks. Worn shocks not only affect ride comfort, they affect your car's ability to stop. And since buying new shocks probably isn't your biggest priority right now, Monroe is helping out with their stimulus plan promotion. Buy Monroe shocks, get up to a $125 rebate. It's the extra savings you need and the extra safety you need more.
Actual miles may vary. Offer valid April 1st through May 31st, 2009. Restrictions apply. Mail-in promotion details available at Monroe.com.
Monroe, ride safe.
Mark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America, and it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury products, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 RL Polk data.
Progressive Talk going up into the mid-80s today. As promised on the line, we have Representative Ed Casso. His bill to extend unemployment benefits, or the possibility, really, of unemployment benefits to workers who were locked out of their job by their employer. That was vetoed yesterday by Governor Bill Ritter. Representative Casso had some pretty strong words for Ritter in the Denver Post today. He said, he accused the governor, I'm reading from the Denver Post here, accused the governor of, quote, hiding the fact that we're Democrats, unquote, for political reasons ahead of the 2010 election. I'm pretty pissed off about this this veto. So I really appreciate you taking the time this morning, Representative Casso.
Oh, good morning, David. How are you?
Good. Okay, so, look, I've doesn't take a lot to, at least from, at least the way I see it, to connect the dots here. You got Bill Ritter, who had a huge amount of his campaign debt retired by Colorado Concern, which is the group of huge corporate CEOs here in Colorado. And now you've got the second veto of legislation that would have, I mean, in a very, very minimal way, no offense to your bill, I'm a supporter of it, but the most basic way to not even strengthen labor. It's like the most basic thing you could do to validate the existence of organized labor. The first was Ritter, of course, infamously vetoed the reform of the Colorado Labor Peace Act, which would have made it slightly easier to unionize in this state. And now, which I think this is actually worse, what he's done yesterday, vetoing a bill that says that if your employer decides to lock you out of your job, effectively temporarily firing you, and in some cases permanently firing you, you can't apply for unemployment benefits. And this law was on the books as of it was repealed in 1999 by Governor Bill Owens. So to me, it's like this is just pay-to-play politics at its worst. I don't want to put words in your mouth. What do you think is going on here?
Something's going on there, David. I agree. And a lot of people focus on what happens if they were to get locked out. Honestly, with this bill, if it had passed and the governor had signed it, that would have prevented lockouts because all these corporations would have had their rates raised as far as unemployment insurance. And so any time that they would have to pay on a monthly basis going forward, their rates would be a lot higher because they had a lot of workers that were unemployed, and so they would have to pay their rates. And so, to me, it really has nothing to do with the workers getting locked out. Now, what's happening with the veto, it wouldn't surprise me if a lockout happened. And if it does happen, it could prolong the contract negotiations that are going on between the union and between these corporations. So I think that there's obviously something going on there. And I don't want to put words in the governor's mouth either, but there's something wrong there. Like you said, this is minimal protections for these working class families, 23,000 plus USCW workers. And we were just putting back, what the Republicans shamelessly took away in 1999.
We're talking to Representative Ed Casso. His bill was just vetoed by Governor Ritter. He sponsored the bill to say that workers who get locked out of their jobs can apply for unemployment benefits. By the way, just like anybody else who gets fired from their job can apply for unemployment benefits. We're not talking here about a special benefit for union workers. Just want to make that really clear. If you lose your job, you can apply for unemployment benefits. What the law says right now, effectively, is that if you are locked out of your job, if you are in a union and you go to your union, goes to your employer and says, we want a raise, or at the end of a contract is expiring and we want to renegotiate the terms of the contract now that the contract's expiring, and the company says, nope, we're locking you out, we're not letting you in, we're going to hire replacements. The current law effectively says you can't apply. You cannot apply for unemployment benefits. So we're not talking about creating any kind of special program here for unionized workers. And Governor Ritter has now vetoed this bill. Now, I said earlier in the broadcast here that Ritter cited the potential for a labor management strife with the grocery workers right now, as he said he didn't want to inject himself, he didn't want the state injecting itself into these negotiations between workers, UFCW workers, United Food and Commercial Workers Union workers, and King Soopers, Safeway, and Albertsons. There was almost going to be a strike. There hasn't been a strike. So Ritter is basically saying, listen, he's trying to basically say, I'm not trying to take a position on whether this is right or wrong. I don't want to interject myself here because there may be a lockout. Now, before we even get into the substance of that, of whether he whether if that was actually taking place, whether he should or should not inject himself, isn't it true that the bill is written in a way where when it start legislatively, it would be implemented well after the deadline of these grocery negotiations? In other words, isn't he actually basically, if not even basically, isn't he lying by citing this rationale because the bill specifically says it won't be implemented until well after the self-imposed deadline by both the grocery workers union and the grocery workers owners?
Well, what happened, David, is I actually had this bill out there last year, and we were told about the timing issue with USCW and the anti-labor groups working on right to work last year. And so we were told it was a timing issue last year, and so we didn't run it last year. We thought we could run it this year, being a non-campaign year, and thought it would be pretty easy to get through this year. And we were told about the timing this year. So in the House of Representatives, Representative Rice actually put the effective date out a year, and we could not get a commitment from the governor's office that he would sign it in that form. And so a lot of us, you know, were going through the negotiations, unfortunately, without the governor's office. And we said, look, we don't normally put legislation out a year. Why are we going to do it in this case? Let's give him a bill that he can and will sign. And like you said, even we put the effective date out as July 1st. Usually when we put a safety clause in the bill, that bill is actually becomes effective on the governor's signature, or if he chooses not to sign it, it becomes law after the 30-day grace period that he has to sign a bill. We even put July 1st out there to specifically avoid these contract negotiations, and here we are. And so I think you're exactly right on that.
Okay, so just so we understand this, the governor, last time this bill came up, cited, or the rap on it was this fake timing issue. Oh, don't do it because of the labor-oriented ballot initiatives. Now we're hearing don't do it because of the grocery workers union. And what it seems to me is that is a, as I said, a canard. It's a way to pretend like you've got some rational reason to veto this or to oppose it, rather than what's really going on, which is, well, I guess it's rational, but it's not something that politicians like to admit very much, is that he's basically going to bat for business interests. Okay, so if there is no timing issue there, let's just put that aside for a second. Governor Ritter's utter and, I think, disgusting dishonesty about the timing issue. Let's just forget that for a second, and let's just look at how he's saying, you know, he doesn't want to intervene on behalf of any one party in labor management negotiations. Well, it seems to me that if a benefit, an unemployment insurance benefit, is available to everybody, except for workers who get unionized workers who get locked out of their jobs, that's kind of a persecutory or a persecution kind of situation, where one set of workers is actually being denied a benefit that almost every other worker is entitled to in the state. It would seem to me that that the law creating that situation already has rigged worker management relations, that the state is already rigging worker management relations by having, in 1999, repealed this law, and that actually, if you reinstate the law that says workers can get unemployment benefits if they get locked out of their jobs, that the state is actually taking itself out of worker management negotiations and trying to get itself out of rigging those worker management relations.
No, you're exactly right, David. I think that the governor has, unfortunately, intervened in the process of the ongoing contract negotiations, and he sided with the corporate interests. And that's what's most disconcerting about all this, is that, you know, to make the claims that he's making, which is, I mean, I guess he's justified in doing so according to his own office, but I think that if you're going to be honest, just say that you didn't like it because it's a labor bill and you don't think the Democrats should be running labor bills at this time, because I think that's what's going on here.
We're talking to Representative Ed Casso. His bill was vetoed by Governor Ritter yesterday, the bill to allow workers who get locked out of their jobs to be able to file for unemployment benefits, just like every other worker in this state. Okay, well, Representative Casso, you're offering up some pretty tough criticism of the governor, and so I've got to ask a political question.
Sure.
what kind of backlash to Governor Ritter, if any, is there inside the Colorado Democratic Party, either among activists, elected leaders? What is your sense? I mean, this is a guy whose poll numbers are pretty weak, a guy who seems nonetheless more than happy to really stick it to not just core Democrats, but, you know, working people. Is there the possibility that this could further weaken him? And what about the idea of a primary challenge? Have you heard anything about this? I mean, it's my take that part of the reason why politicians like Ritter end up being and behaving like this is because they don't fear any consequences. And so I'm wondering, is there any sense on your part that there could be a potential backlash to this within the Colorado Democratic Party?
You know what, David? I actually have sat in on a few meetings in regards to that very question of yours. Should there be a primary at the governor? You know, after he made his decision on Senator Bennett, there was that talk in the Latino community. And I don't purport to speak for every Latino in the state of Colorado, but the leaders who are very vocal are very disappointed in his decision, not even considering the Hispanic to replace the Hispanic in the U.S. Senate. It goes along the same lines here in labor. I mean, obviously, this is the front page story of the Denver Post, and anyone that's affiliated with labor, which is a great deal of people in the Democratic Party and the people that go through the caucus and assembly process, if there were to be a credible candidate out there, and I don't want to mention any names, I think that the governor could be in serious trouble. And again, we don't base this on this one particular veto. We base it on
the whole picture.
The whole picture and the cumulative effect of how governor has shown to not be a leader on so many issues. And to be in that background to not take the lead. I don't mind if we disagree, because, I mean, we're not going to agree on everything. But when we do disagree, at least be upfront with people and tell them why you're disagreeing.
We're talking to Representative Ed Casso. His bill was vetoed by Governor Ritter yesterday, the bill to simply reinstate the law that allowed workers who get locked out of their jobs to have unemployment benefits, or to at least be able to apply for those unemployment benefits. That law was originally repealed by Governor Bill Owens, one of the most right-wing extremist governors this state has ever seen. And now you have Governor Ritter, a Democrat, effectively validating that by vetoing this bill. Okay, final question then.
Sure.
If you feel comfortable, maybe you don't, but what names have you heard of people potentially thinking about running against Ritter in a primary? Would you run? And I'm not asking you to say that you don't have to tell me that you've heard somebody say they're going to. I'm just curious what the universe of possibility might look like. And if you can't tell us that, then how much opposition, anger has been expressed to Ritter himself? Does he even know that people are really pissed off with him, or is he so insulated in that bubble that maybe he doesn't even have a sense of it?
Well, David, I think that there's a couple names out there, and again, this is not coming from those names, because I wouldn't purport to speak for somebody that may or may not be running for higher office, but I think Andrew Romanoff obviously would be a perfect candidate to be our next governor, and I think he would have been a perfect candidate in 2006 as well. I think that everything that's going on right now, and including the potential of losing the Democratic seat in the governor's office and losing a lot of our seats in the House of Representatives, with redistricting coming up in 2010, I think that it's a bigger issue than even just the politics of playing with workers. I think that it comes to those bigger issues and giving Republicans a stronghold in this state again by having the governor's office or having the control of the House of Representatives. We need to find somebody that's not going to allow that to happen. I think that Andrew Romanoff, and again, this is not coming from Speaker Romanoff whatsoever, but from my personal point of view, I think Andrew Romanoff would be a very formidable candidate in the primary. I think somebody like Congressman Ed Perlmutter would be a very formidable candidate. And again, I haven't heard from Ed, but I think that those are two names out there right now that I think that a vast, vast majority of Democrats would rally behind. And again, it's nothing against Governor Ritter personally. It's everything that he's done politically over the last 3 years. And I can speak as a member of the House of Representatives. There's a lot of stuff that people don't see that we see on the front end that we've been disconcerted with. And that's why, unfortunately, you know, when Democrats get together, we really didn't, how do I want to say this? His lack of leadership has made us fumble a little bit with the Pinnacle stuff and those kind of things. And so, all that taken
right, his lack of leadership. I mean, look, I'm be honest, folks. I've worked around a couple of governors, and here's the thing: if your governor control, you know, the governor's party controls the legislature, the governor shouldn't be ending up vetoing core principles of that party.
Right.
By that I mean the governor should be showing leadership with his party in the legislature to say, here's what I want to do, here's what I don't want to do, as opposed to, like we saw in the death penalties. Like, I don't have a position on the death penalty.
Yep.
Now this core labor bill, which should be a reflexively easy priority for Democrats, he's actually vetoing it. I mean, that just not only shows, I think, selling out, it just shows a lack of, like, if you were going to veto it, why didn't you let people know this? Although maybe the legislature just said, you know what, you're showing so little leadership that we're going to do this because this should be a core Democratic priority. Okay, last question. I know I said the last one was the last question, but I know people are going to be wondering about this. Real quick, can you override his veto? I mean, is that a possibility legislatively, process-wise? And then I guess the second part of that is it politically possible? Maybe it might be actually technically possible, but maybe it's not politically possible. What's your take on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, David, we would not be able to override his veto on this one. We would need a two-thirds vote in both houses to override it, and we're out of session right now. So pretty much basically this is could be seen as a pocket veto or what have you. We wouldn't have the ability, but I think that it's, like you said, David, his leadership is very disconcerting. We had 35 Democrats in the House, some of which are very, very vulnerable in their seats, and we had 21 senators, and for the governor to say that his political acumen or his policy acumen is more than his own party's acumen in both House, where the overwhelming majority of Democrats supported House Bill 1170, that says a lot to me.
Ed Casso, he's the representative from Thornton, right?
Yes, sir.
Ed Casso, the representative from Thornton, his bill was vetoed yesterday by Governor Bill Ritter. Thank you so much for taking the time, and please stay in touch with us and let us know what we can do to help get the word out when any of these issues ever comes up. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you, David. Have a good day.
You too. That was Representative Ed Casso. His bill was vetoed yesterday by Governor Bill Ritter. This is the bill to allow workers who are locked out of their jobs to apply for unemployment benefits, just like every other worker in this state. Right now, our state law persecutes unionized workers by saying they're the one set of workers that can't apply for unemployment benefits if their boss locks them out of their job. What do you think about the veto? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. Does Bill Ritter deserve a primary challenge? Or am I being too tough on him? Is Representative Ed Casso being too tough on him? Why do you think Governor Ritter vetoed this bill? And really, the general question, what the heck is wrong with this guy? I mean, really, what the heck is wrong with this guy? And why are we supposed to think that having a Democratic legislature and a Democratic governor is so great if a bill as basic as this is vetoed? 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Don't know if we got a powwow, but something going on southbound 225 around Mississippi. Got a bus and a couple cars pulled off to the side of the road. Don't know if they got a little mix-up fender bender, but that's causing some major delays all the way back to I-70 and those approaches to 225 on I-70 also bunching up. Stop and go southbound I-25, I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Also working one crash on the surface streets, Quebec and Leedsdale, but we are starting to see the highways kind of loosen up for us this morning. You will see some speeds dropping in the 30s and 20s there on C-470 across Littleton and Highlands Ranch and on westbound 76 in Commerce City approach downtown, but we are starting to make a little bit of a recovery. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., then mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. Right now, we're at 71 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss UFC 98, Evans versus Machida, live this Saturday night. An epic showdown with UFC lightweight champion Rashad Evans battling Lyoto Machida, plus Matt Hughes versus Matt Serra. Order on channel 801 with your Comcast digital remote.
Hey again, it's Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino. I gotta tell you, some of these...
Seatbelt on. Seatbelt on. Look, I can't put it on for you, and you know the cops are out there, right? If you don't wear your seatbelt, you get a ticket. Don't be an idiot. Who's a smart driver?
All across the country, cops are cracking down. Click it or ticket. Day and night.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Am I shy? Jay, there's no way I'm going to do anything about it. Well, I was the same way till I went to Icon LASIK. Let me tell you something about Icon. They're a Denver institution, and they offer interlaced bladeless LASIK, Nidec, and Wavefront LASIK technologies, the top of the line in LASIK. They're your one stop for all your LASIK needs, and they can do it for as low as $4.99 per eye. And they have done tons and tons of these procedures. So they treat you great. As a matter of fact, they've completed over 60,000 procedures in Colorado. So if you've been shy about LASIK, hey, do yourself a favor. Call Icon. Set up a free custom vision evaluation today, and it'll just put your mind at rest, really. Call Icon, 720-524-1001. That's 720-524-1001. Or check them out on the internet at icondenver.com.
Are you interested in a dietary intervention that may lower your blood pressure without any medications? Researchers at the University of Colorado at Boulder are currently seeking adults age 50 to 79 to participate in a clinical research study to learn how reducing salt in the diet improves function of your blood vessels. They're seeking individuals with moderately elevated blood pressure of 130 to 159 not on blood pressure medications. Benefits of participating in this study include a complete blood panel, body fat and bone mineral density measurements, as well as a physical exam and stress test. Compensation for your time and participation is available if you qualify. If you or someone you know is a non-smoker aged 50 to 79, has moderately elevated blood pressure and is not currently taking any prescription medications, researchers at University of Colorado at Boulder would like to talk to you. Please call Carrie at 303-735-6410 for more information and to see if you qualify. Again, that number is 303-735-6410. 303-735-6410.
Are you still waiting for economic stimulus to trickle down, but you still need a PC now? 345PC.com can help. We have two different PC packages priced at $345 and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. A new PC is as easy as 345PC.com. Visit our website at 345PC.com for complete details and secure online ordering of your custom PC. Assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
Let's get through these rough times together. And I'm doing my part, offering you our Liberty Bell Freedom Bundles at even lower prices than ever before. Hello, I'm Tom Martino, and I'm proud of this special introductory offer that will save you more than $500. Now you can get phone service, high-speed internet, and digital TV with free installation. It's the same high-quality service you've come to expect from my company, Liberty Bell, where you're never just a number. This is the lowest price, best bundle we've ever offered. And remember, with Liberty Bell, there are no 200-word disclaimers, no complicated bills, just plain good service at low prices. Liberty Bell, your only true local company, all Colorado-owned and operated. Call 303-BUNDLES, 303-BUNDLES, or online at 303bundles.com. That's 303bundles.com.
The first song on our new album.
8:46, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. John Turk negotiating furiously with Governor Ritter's office to get the governor on the phone. By the look of his face, it's not going all that well. Sounds like they're trying to throw a bunch of spin artists at us. We want the governor on this show, and we will hold out for that. I'm tired of getting spun around by political professionals. I want to talk to the man himself if we can. And I don't mean that in a vain way. I'm not trying to be vain about it. If the governor doesn't have time for us, that's fine. That's his imperative. But I want to hear from the guy himself who actually vetoed this bill.
Yeah, he's upset because we won't take Don Morris.
I don't want a cabinet spokesperson, and we want the guy who vetoed the bill.
Yeah, no, they're upset now. They finally, after about 2 hours after I emailed Evan, I guess because their phones are up and going there, they're upset now, and they want to put Don Morris on instead.
They're upset with us?
Well, he thinks that Don Morris would be able to get put out a lot of the misinformation that's out there about this bill.
No. I know. We'll wait for the governor, and
well,
I'm sure
I said tomorrow or Friday we're open.
We'll give.
It doesn't look like they want to provide the governor.
Right. We'll give the governor I'm open thing, open offer. We will give the governor as much airtime as we have here on this, in this show. The governor, we will cancel all of our other guests that we have booked this week. We'll give the governor as much time as he would like to come on and explain himself and then take calls from Coloradans about his decision and any other issue. Is that a fair offer, Turk?
Yeah, it's a fair offer.
Would you be willing? I know you've booked a lot of guests. Are you willing to clear out the schedule for the governor?
He can come on. Yeah,
more than willing.
We'll give him, what do we got? We got 2 days left in this week. We'll give him 8 hours of airtime if the governor wants to come on here for 8 hours and answer questions about this. We'll wait.
My point was, you know, Don Mars isn't the governor of our state, and, you know.
Well, I didn't elect him. Did you vote for him?
No, I didn't vote for Mars. No. He was appointed, wasn't he?
Yeah, and did Mars, by the way, did he veto the bill?
No.
No, exactly.
But he can kill all the misinformation about the bill out there.
I want to hear from the man himself, and I think most people who are listening in want to hear from the man himself. And if the man himself...
So, you know what? Flood his office with phone calls. Tell him to come on the radio with us.
Yeah, that's right. The number is... Let me just get this.
Because I think that is what put him into action for Evan Driver to actually call us back.
The number, 303-866-2471 is Governor Ritter's office. 303-866-2471. We'd like to have Governor Ritter come on and explain himself, and especially his lie that this is a time... He didn't want to interject himself in the ongoing negotiations with grocery workers when, in fact, this bill was written to make sure, timing-wise, that it doesn't interject itself into those negotiations. I want to ask him that question. I don't want to hear from some cabinet official. I want to hear from the guy who vetoed it himself. Is that unreasonable? I don't think it's unreasonable. All right, let's go back to the phones. 303-713-7600. Vince in Commerce City, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
Topic, I'm furious, though I'm not surprised. I happen to be a union representative for the Teamsters, and I actually testified on behalf of the bill when it was in the Business and Labor Affairs Committee. And the governor's rationale in this, again, cop-out, it is no different. The rationale is no different than what he did under the Peace Act when we tried to repeal that. And he says, you guys didn't play nice. And that, you know, it was out of spirit of cooperation, as if he honestly believed that big business was going to just lie down and let us put that piece of legislation through without a fight. And so to come out and say, well, you guys didn't know how to get along. This is insane. This is a basic right. It was in place prior. And if they really want to take a look at what this bill did, please go back and look at the last USCW contract prior to the passage of this bill. The next, there was a set of negotiations after the bill. Literally, the industry as they knew it was changed under a two-tier system whereby you now start at minimum wage and basically are topping out somewhere around $12.50. Presently, those who are grandfathered in were making a decent living wage, and I'm saying upwards of $17 to $18 an hour. They had benefits that were mostly provided for through the negotiation process and a retirement that was pretty sound at the time. And now, literally, and I ask you to pull this up because people won't believe it, it was literally cut in half is what they did after the passage or after Owens repealed.
Right, because what you're saying is, and I assume what you're saying is because workers were so disempowered by Owens' original move to strip workers of their unemployment benefits if they get locked out.
Oh, absolutely. When you think about it, in its simplest terms, people across this great state, what it really comes down to is I enter negotiations with King Soopers. I may have ongoing negotiations simultaneously with Albertsons and Safeway, but I'm in negotiations with King Soopers. And well, in this case, King Soopers and Safeway sat together. But when I strike one, or if the employees, by the way, vote to strike Ernie Duran does not take them out. They vote on whether or not this is a fair offer. They make a determination, the King Soopers employees, that this is not a fair offer. Now they make that determination that they will strike. They do not get strike or unemployment benefits on, even under the old legislation. They don't get them, but the workers at Safeway and Albertsons continue to go to work if the employer allows them to. So then they show up to the store one day, and they're locked out. They are willing to go to work, but they are not allowed to. The point is that every other Coloradoan has the right, if they lose their job through no fault of their own, at the base rate to apply for unemployment benefits, and will most likely get them.
That's right, and this is the whole point here. This is why it's a persecutory situation. Because the law, thanks to Governor Owens and now Governor Ritter, the law literally singles out union workers and says, if you get locked out, if you don't have a job, if you get effectively, temporarily, and in many cases, they end up being permanently fired, you're the one set of workers in Colorado who doesn't get unemployment benefits. Thanks for the call, Vince. 8:53, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Governor Bill Ritter's veto of legislation that would reinstate the law, that's also in many states, that would allow workers who get locked out of their jobs to at least be able to apply for unemployment benefits like every other worker in Colorado. What do you think about that veto? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still working the situation on southbound 225 where a bus and a couple cars are pulled off to the side of the road near Mississippi, but looks like they're kind of partially blocking a lane there. Jams go from I-70 all the way past Alameda where these cars are off the side of the road. Northbounders also hitting the brakes there around the spillway. Traffic is loosening up on the other major highways around town. You will see some residual traffic, though, mostly on southbound I-25, heavy up in Northbound, again after I-70. All those approaches into downtown, also full, westbound 76, eastbound 70, and eastbound 270. Also a lot more traffic heading towards Boulder there on the turnpike, 36 full from McCaslin to Boulder Road there at Foothills Highway. Also crash at Quebec and Leedsdale. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm, a high of 86. Right now, we're at 71 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Jazzy geraniums and perfect petunias can be yours this year. It's easy. Use Eco All-Purpose Potting Mix, then sit back, enjoy the results, and take the credit. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
I just lost my job, so I moved in with my parents, broke as all get out.
Workers should get money before CEOs get bonuses.
If the object is trying to help people get out of trouble,
the government is, at least in theory, elected by the people,
then maybe we should lower their salaries.
Therefore, it is the ultimate voice of the people.
It almost sounds like I had somewhat of, like, the swine flu.
Oh, my God. What about the swine flu?
There's better ways of doing that than torture in today's society.
I don't believe in war. I don't believe even weapons.
Give peace a chance.
AM 760.
I think that would be a terrific thing.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
There are debt cures for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
Hi, Ashton Ritchie from Scotts here with homeowner Brad Oakley. What you writing there, Brad?
An apology note to my neighbor.
Ah, what happened?
Dandelions happened, all over my lawn. Now those fluffy white seeds are blowing all over my neighbor's lawn.
Well, dandelions are trouble. They don't just look bad, they also steal essential nutrients from your lawn. Luckily, they're Scotts Turf Builder Plus 2.
That'll stop the dandelions?
Absolutely. It's formulated to kill dandelions and other tough weeds. And unlike bargain brands, it has no filler. So every single granule delivers 100% food and weed-killing power.
Sounds like a surefire way to kill those dandelions.
It is, and since Turf Builder also feeds you grass, you'll get a thicker, greener Turf Builder lawn.
Great. But what about my neighbor?
I'd pick up a bag for him, too. With dandelions popping up, this weekend is the perfect time to put down a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Plus 2. This is Ashton Ritchie. See you in the yard.
David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Okay, hang on through the break. I'm going to take one call, and if you're still holding, hang on. We'll get back to your calls, I promise. Hang on if you can. Let's go to Kevin in Fort Collins. Kevin.
This is Phil.
Oh, Phil. Sorry, my bad. Phil.
No problem. Yeah, I think that Governor Ritter needs to read... according to my brother, he's an economist, and he's a moderate conservative. He needs to read Alan Greenspan's book on the Age of Turbulence, where he says one-third of the book is devoted to the wide disparity of income in this country, how it's gotten really bad, and he says it's bad for the long-term health of the economy. And then Paul Krugman has reinforced this in his book, The Conscience of a Liberal, and he said that it's so bad that we're actually, my brother said developed a perfect model that shows we're actually as bad as we were before the Great Depression.
Well, that's right. We're in Gilded Age era levels here, and because of labor policies like the stuff that Governor Ritter has just endorsed with his veto. Okay, stick around. After the break, after the national news, we'll get back to your calls. Phil, Tony, Errol, hang on, and we'll get to your calls after the break about Governor Ritter's veto. Stick around.
I should be Twittering.
Like I don't talk enough.
Randy Rhodes.
It's not going to last. Twitter is... Who could keep themselves to 140 characters? Nobody can. Not me. 140 pages? Yes, I'm in. I'm your girl.
The Randy Rhodes Show. Weeknights at 7 on AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. How safe are America's pensions? The federal agency that backs them up is in trouble. Let's go live to CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And the trouble is a $33.5 billion deficit. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation backs up the pensions of 44 million of us, and more companies have been forced into bankruptcy in the recession with underfunded pensions.
One people should think about, understand, pay attention to, yes, but one that is unexpected, no. One that should cause panic, no.
But Dallas Salisbury, president of the Employee Benefit Research Institute, says there should be more oversight. There have been allegations of mismanagement. Nick?
New international concerns following the test firing of a new missile by Iran. The launch comes on the heels of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's first meetings with President Obama. And CBS News foreign affairs analyst Juan Zarate says there's plenty of hand-wringing to go around.
Not only is Israel worried about this, but you have Sunni Arab allies and states that are also concerned. Countries like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, that are all worried about growing Iranian influence.
A report in the New York Times says there is evidence U.S. arms and ammunition meant for Afghanistan troops is ending up in Taliban hands. The report says rifle clips collected from dead Taliban insurgents contain rounds identical to those supplied to Afghan forces. James Beaven is an ammunition expert who examined some of what was recovered.
This ammunition, which was used by the Taliban, is unusual for that region, and it would be unlikely to have arrived in that region through means other than distribution by U.S. or allied personnel.
The U.S. military is contradicting Afghan government claims over a deadly clash with the Taliban last month. The U.S. officials say at least 20 civilians were among those killed. The Afghan government puts the number at 140. Navy officials say bodies have been found following the crash of a Navy helicopter off the Southern California coast last night. Lieutenant Corrine Brzezinski is with the Navy's 3rd Fleet in San Diego.
Three are confirmed dead, and the Coast Guard and the Navy are continuing their search and rescue efforts for the remaining two crew members.
It is not clear what caused the Seahawk chopper to crash. At least 98 people are dead in the crash of an Indonesian military plane about 300 miles from Jakarta. A special commission in Ireland has released an exhaustive report that contains damning conclusions. It says that thousands of Irish girls and boys sent to church-run schools and other institutions over the years were terrorized by Catholic priests and nuns. Eglin de Braden, the political correspondent for the Irish Times, says it's hard to overestimate the impact of this investigation, which stretched over 9 years.
It is a massive blow to the prestige and standing of the Catholic Church, which was enormous in this society.
Most leaders of the Church's religious orders have rejected the report's conclusions as exaggerations and lies. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 79 points. This is CBS News.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges. Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances. That's 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
So I'm at the airport waiting for my luggage when it hits me. I've been staring at the same conveyor for the last 15 hours. My luggage? Gone. Not coming. Now what? Well, I panicked a little, pulled out some hair, and sort of kind of cried. But then I realized GEICO helped me with my renter's insurance, so my personal property's protected. And since it's as low as $12 a month, I can afford a fancy wig, seeing as I pulled out a good bit of hair.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Boulder Valley school teachers called in sick again yesterday, although not in the same numbers as the previous two school days. Middle school teacher Tina Muse says it's about the money.
Public school teachers don't make dramatic amounts of money, and most parents have expressed to us that they back what we're doing.
Teachers are protesting a 1% salary increase offer. Nuggets fans in high gear as their team moves into the conference finals last night.
And everybody's coming out, everybody's buying jerseys, buying hats, support the team, you know.
That man talking to 9 News at Chopper's Sports Grill in Denver. Fans went home disappointed, though. A 105-103 Game 1 loss. Game 2 tomorrow night in L.A. CU will raise tuition this fall, although not as much as expected.
We're committed to keeping the University of Colorado affordable for Colorado families and so that they can reap the benefits of higher education.
CU's Ken McConnellog and tight budgets mean an end to a 30-year tradition of 4th of July fireworks in Colorado Springs. The Gazette reporting the nearly $100,000 cost couldn't be justified. Rockies fell to the Braves 8-1. Same teams in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's still going to be a busy drive as this morning's commute is winding down. We're seeing leftover delays on 225. This on both sides of the highway approaching Mississippi, but especially on the southbound side. That's due to an earlier crash. There's also slowdowns on I-25 downtown as well as 36 near McCaslin. That says you're heading to Boulder. Surface Street wreck. This one's in the cleanup stages, but you may find activity Quebec and Leedsdale. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
You never have to pan, you never have to zoom, you never have to scroll. You just read. Those were the words of Amazon's chief executive, Jeff Bezos, at the launch of the new Kindle DX, their brand new e-reader, which is 250% bigger than previous Kindles and aimed at the newspaper, magazine, and document reading audience. A paperless society is now one step and just under $500 closer.
American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown. Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Chris Lippy,
Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as The Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet.
Star Wars Millennium Falcon sound that we can play every time things start to go a little haywire and we try to make the jump to light speed and it doesn't work. All right, 907, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760, Colorado's progressive Millennium Falcon. We're going to go right now to a quick update before we get back to your calls. And Errol, Phil, Kevin, and Bill, hang on. We're going to get back to your calls in a sec. I just wanted to get a quick update from my buddy Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer. He just finished up his book, and he was recently, I guess it was yesterday, in the Associated Press about his efforts. And Colorado Safer, obviously, is about drug policy reform here in Colorado. If you've listened to this show, you know Mason. The National Associated Press had a story on the wire about an effort to get colleges to punish marijuana, quote-unquote, offenders, just as they would punish, and they do punish, offenders of our drinking laws. Right now, many colleges have draconian punishments for students who are caught with marijuana, far more draconian than punishments for students who are caught, who are not of age, who are caught drinking. And Mason Tavert of Colorado Safer was in this story. All right, Mason, tell us about this campaign to try to get colleges to change their policy. How successful has it been? What's the underlying goal of this beyond just the surface goal of like getting colleges to change their policy? Is this also a public awareness campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, we've seen so many problems with alcohol use amongst college students, and whether it's overdose deaths or the hundreds of thousands of sexual assaults every year, there's tons of assaults, property damage, serious alcohol-related problems. Yet what we see are policies and laws that essentially steer students towards drinking and away from using marijuana instead. So we're not simply asking that that marijuana be no more of a penalty than underage drinking. We're simply saying, hey, if there's a 21-year-old college student and they would rather use marijuana than go out to the bar and get trashed, they shouldn't face suspension or expulsion from school, because that sends a really dangerous message that they're better off drinking when, in fact, they're not.
And the assumption is, or at least the hypothesis is, that if the punishments are different, that you're actually encouraging drinking. I mean, that's the effect of a policy at a college that says you will be punished in a draconian way for marijuana but not for alcohol. You're basically saying, go ahead and drink. You're effectively endorsing drinking.
And it goes even further than that. What's really interesting is when you hear the colleges talk about the efforts they're taking to curb drinking and dangerous drinking by students, they all essentially entail encouraging drinking. So we've got, you know, the typical encouraging students to drink responsibly. They give them online quizzes and tests, and they send them through programs teaching them that they're supposed to drink responsibly. Then they have social norms marketing campaigns where they bombard students with messages that, you know, most of their peers only have 1 to 4 drinks when they party. And now we're seeing even an effort to lower the drinking age to 18. And when you look at it, I mean, these are all efforts geared towards reducing dangerous drinking, but what are they essentially doing? They're telling students, maybe some students who have never drank before in their lives, the day they walk through the doors to college, hey, you're supposed to drink. Drinking's typical here. Just do it responsibly. And they're, you know, really promulgating this notion that college students are supposed to go out and get trashed. And they could very simply teach these students that here are the effects of alcohol, here are the effects of marijuana, please party responsibly.
We're talking to Mason Tvert, the executive director of Colorado Safer, which pushes for drug policy reform here in Colorado. Okay, last question real quick, Mason. Where can people find out about this campaign in specific? What can they do? How can they get involved in it?
Well, we've got a new website up at safercampuses.org, and we have an effort underway called the Emerald Initiative, which is based on the Amethyst Initiative, and that's the effort where college presidents are calling for debate on lowering the drinking age. And this is simply calling on those same presidents to have debate on whether allowing college students to use marijuana more freely might, in fact, reduce the amount of dangerous drinking taking place. So that's safercampuses.org.
Safercampuses.org. Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. Hey, man, thanks for checking in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to you. That was Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. Now we're going to pivot back to the issue of the day, Governor Ritter vetoing the bill to extend unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out of their job by their employers. Right now, Colorado law says anybody can apply for unemployment benefits in Colorado except for workers who are locked out of their job by their employers, essentially except for unionized workers. Governor Ritter vetoes the bill to reinstate the law that Governor Owens had repealed. Basically reinstate the law that says you can get unemployment benefits. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. Also, I got this instant message here saying that this person, Ken, just talked to Governor Ritter's office, and now they're saying that we have not made a request for the governor to appear on the show. So if that's true...
Why did Evan Dreyer call me back?
Right. Why is Evan Dreyer calling our station? Evan Dreyer, of course, is the governor's spokesperson. We have called and made a request. We made a request very early in the day.
If you remember, if we go back about a week, David, you asked me to just send him an email and ask him what the Ritter stance was on House Bill 1170, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
And I sent him an email. He got back about 30 seconds later saying he's... Taking opinion from both sides.
That's right. So I just want to be clear. If this is true, if Governor Ritter's office is saying that we have not made a request for the governor to appear on the show, then Governor Ritter's office is lying. And you can call and ask Governor Ritter himself, or at least his office. 303-866-2471 is the governor's office number. 303-866-2471. Express your opinion on the governor's veto of this bill. And also instant message us or email me, ds@davidsirota.com, and let us know if they're denying that we're making a request for him to come on and explain himself. We will offer up the governor as much airtime as we can provide here for him to explain himself and even take your calls. And this is if this is true, if they're denying that we made a request, that's really disappointing, because I also think the governor is lying in his veto statement, saying that he didn't want to inject himself or inject the state into this negotiations with the grocery workers. That's not true, because the bill actually was written so that it wouldn't be implemented until the grocery workers' strike or potential strike is over. Can we do one call? We got time for one call? Turk? All right, he's giving me a grudging yes. We got time for one call. Our clock is pretty screwed up today. So, Errol, Phil, Kevin, and Bill, we're going to take your calls right now. If I don't get to you on this one, I'm just taking them in the order that we received. Just hang on. Let's see, who was first to call? It was Kevin in Fort Collins. Kevin.
Hello, David.
Hey there.
Hi, I'm Matter in a Wet Hen. I got to tell you that... I think we're seeing a lack of leadership. I read the headline on the paper today, and it is a lie, especially after listening to the senator talk about what's going on. I think we're seeing a lack of leadership, not only from Ritter, but also from Pat Walk, the party chair, who has allowed Ritter to act like a Republican with no consequences and no reprimands and no talking to. And really... the wife and I talked about this morning. I think the only way that we can resolve this is we have to get campaign contributions in the state, the federal, and all these elections under control, because just like the senator was talking about, Ritter is doing political payback. He got his $250,000 campaign debt retired by this right-wing organization, and he's been paying them back ever since. He did right away when he vetoed that labor bill that would have allowed it, a little bit easier for unions to organize. And, you know, this, we're seeing it in the White House with Obama as well.
We need campaign finance reform. You're absolutely right. The only thing I would, and it is connected to an issue like this, as it is connected to so many issues, health care, so many issues. But I just want to say one thing. I mean, the idea that this is Pat Walks, that she's got some culpability here, I would go bigger. I would say that this is what happens when a Democratic Party, a state Democratic Party, doesn't have people willing to step up and say, Governor Ritter, or to any elected official, if you sell out working people, you will face a challenge at the polls. You will face an electoral challenge. I am not one of these people who believes that primaries are a bad thing. I know you got Barack Obama out there who wins a campaign. If there wasn't primaries, we wouldn't have President Obama. Right? He won a contested primary. So, seems to me that Bill Ritter is basically going on record saying, I don't think the Democratic Party can punish me, will punish me. I don't think there's any consequences for sticking my boot in the eye of working people by vetoing this bill and effectively ratifying right-wing extremist Bill Owens's position on labor issues. There's no consequences for me because I think the Colorado Democratic Party is so weak, is so pathetic, that nobody will step up and challenge me over these series of decisions to stick my boot in the eye of working people. And I got to say, so it's not Pat Walk. It's the entire Democratic Party of Colorado. Is anybody out there going to step up and say this is unacceptable? Bill Ritter is an unacceptable nominee. In 2010, he's made it clear. And by the way, I think if Ritter runs in a primary and wins a primary, he becomes a stronger candidate because I think a primary makes people have to actually answer for their decisions. What we're seeing now is a politician who doesn't think he has to answer to the public for his decisions. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Hey, Kevin, thanks for the call, man. 919, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What do you think of Governor Bill Ritter's veto of the bill that would give unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out of their job? Good veto? Bad veto? I think it's pretty bad. I don't think we should have a situation in Colorado where the one set of workers who are not allowed to apply for unemployment benefits are those who get locked out of their jobs for simply asking for a wage, or not even asking for a higher wage. Workers who simply ask to not have their wages cut. That's the one subclass of workers in this state that cannot apply for unemployment benefits. And Governor Ritter went on record with his veto saying that's perfectly fine by him. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update from Han Solo.
I wish we still had Bill Owens, to be honest with you. I'm serious. Bill Owens is at least a personable guy, likable.
I'm not going to go that far.
No, I will.
You're going that far.
He would come in here and stop by the studio and say hey to Jay every once in a while.
And you know what? You know, at least
he was a personable guy.
At least with Bill Owens, here's the thing, and this Ed Casso made this point, to your point, Turk. At least Bill Owens was like, hey.
Here's what I'm doing.
I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
Right?
What you see is what you get.
I don't like organized labor. The problem with Bill Ritter is that he's doing this, and in the name of the Democratic Party,
it's all guys. It seems like
it's just bad news.
Hey, Dave, when people ask you for an interview, do you pass them along to your wife, Emily?
Never.
All right, I didn't think so.
Not that Emily's not qualified.
Right, exactly. And I'm not saying Don Myers isn't qualified.
She wouldn't want to speak for me.
We want to talk to the governor.
We want to talk to the governor. And reminder, 303-866-2471. Express your opinion to the governor. That's the governor's office number, 303-866-2471. And make sure to let us know if they keep pretending like we haven't asked them to come on the show. All right, let's get a traffic update.
All right, you got it. Still stop and go on 225 for southbounders due to an earlier situation around Mississippi. These speeds are in the teens and 20s from about I-70 all the way down past Alameda. Only other spot with heavy traffic right now, southbound 2570 past Spear Boulevard. If you're using US 6 trying to get to Central City and Blackhawk, we do have a closure there between 119 and Colorado 58. They're working on tunnels 1, 2, and 3, so you will have to find your alternates. The Central City Parkway is probably your best bet going up I-70. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms this afternoon, highs in the mid to upper 80s. Your current downtown temperature is 74 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Get ready for the long weekend at your neighborhood King Supers. You'll find great specials on...
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas. We're on this road together.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. The solar electric systems installed by Independent Power Systems in 2008 alone prevented 530 tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere. Do you know that's the equivalent of planting more than 12,000 trees? Independent Power Systems also installed the solar electric system at Coors Field. Independent Power Systems, 303-443-0105. And online at www.solaripsi.com.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
.com.
.com/924, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Going up to the mid-80s today, Governor Ritter's veto of the bill to extend unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. His veto message says he didn't want to inject himself into this potential grocery workers' strike and lockout. Of course, that's a lie. The bill was written specifically to avoid that. It has a... language in there saying it wouldn't have been implemented until July, the grocery workers strike. Both the grocery workers union and the grocery owners have agreed to a May 30th deadline. So Ritter's message about why he vetoed this doesn't strike me as honest at all. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines, so give us a ring. 303-713-7600. We'll go to... let's see, we'll go to Errol in Greeley. Errol.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Well, I'm very angry. Right after Ritter was elected, he came to Greeley and met with a bunch of conservative business interests behind closed doors. He came out and voted against the union security bill. And as far as I'm concerned, and I came on your show and I told him this, that he's nothing but a hypocrite, a liar, and a limmer for the corporate interests. I kept hoping that maybe something would change. That hasn't happened. I'm a lifetime Democrat. I understand the issues. I know exactly what's going on, and this man is not a Democrat. And I kept hoping that he would at least do something that was positive as a Democrat. And he's going to try and tell you, well, I voted to let the public service workers, the firefighters, unionize. Let me tell you.
Well, hold on a minute. Let me just correct you. He made an executive order saying that workers could, public employees could unionize. Of course, in his executive order, he said that they couldn't strike, which then.
Well, that's what I was getting at.
Right. But I also want to correct the record also. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah, you have absolutely nothing in a union if you cannot strike. That is the only power.
And additionally, there is a bill sitting on Ritter's desk that would allow firefighters to unionize. Ed Casso is in the newspaper today, the sponsor of this bill, saying that he thinks that Bill Ritter is probably going to veto that bill as well. So we're going to see more from Bill Ritter on these issues coming up.
Let me just say, while I'm on the phone, that as a lifetime Democrat, I have already decided that if they run the devil against this man, I'm going to vote for him. I don't care what number he's got in front of his name. So if the Democrats are smart, they'll run Mike Miles, or they'll run Romanoff, or they'll run Perlmutter, or Markey, or somebody against this weak-kneed sellout. And if they don't, I will vote Republican for the first time in my life, and I guarantee you, at least with a Republican, I'm going to know that he's telling me the truth when he says he's going to screw me.
Well, and that's getting to the broader point here. What is the point of electing a Democratic legislature and a Democratic governor if the governor is going to veto a bill that should be, that there shouldn't even be a question? I mean, there shouldn't even be a question on a bill like this, right? I mean, it kind of reminds us how set back, how money dominated we are. When it's not just, I mean, I would say this, if there was even a question, the fact that there's even a question on this bill, on a bill like this, is absurd. The fact that it gets vetoed is, it's mind-boggling. Bill Ritter, a Democratic governor, is on record saying that the one subset of workers in Colorado who should not be eligible for unemployment benefits are those who have formed a union and who are asking for their employer to not cut their wages and are thus locked out. That's the one subset of workers that Bill Ritter says should be denied unemployment benefits while everybody else should have them. I mean, that's what's so incredible about this bill. Thanks for the call. 928, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We'll go to Alan in Fort Collins. You're on AM 760.
Hi, this is actually Andrea.
Oh, Andrea. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. I want to address this whole Pat Walk thing and the whole what are these Democrats doing. I am actually a captain in a House subdistrict in Denver. And let me tell you about Pat Walk. When the bill for tuition equity went down, I personally asked her to make a statement on the Colorado Democratic Party's website in support of comprehensive immigration reform and any kind of Dream Act legislation, and a showing of dismay for the fact that SB 170 went down. She waffled. She told me that she would do it, and then later on proceeded to point me to a platform that these legislators ignore anyway. Let me tell you that what your last caller was expressing was exactly what people that are inside the party are feeling right now as well.
No, I'm not trying to downplay. I'm not trying to denigrate that feeling. What I'm saying is that it's a broader issue of it's not just Pat Walk, right? I mean and I like Pat Walk.
But as far as the governor is concerned, as far as the governor of Colorado is concerned, Pat Walk has a say in this. She needs to be representative of the voice of Democratic voters in this state. Now, I understand that the governor has to be, you know, relatively neutral because he was voted by, you know, supposedly all of the voters of the state or whoever voted for him. But the reality of the situation is that we're not getting any leadership from the governor. We're not getting it from the party leadership in the state either. And what we need, and like in my case, for example, I have PCP, precinct committee person slots that are wide open, and I have a ton of them that are wide open. I need people to staff those slots.
Right.
So that we can get in here and we can put pressure on this leadership, because if they're not going to be leaders, we need to press them from underneath to be the leader.
No, that's you're making a good point. You're making a good point. I mean, this is we are seeing a systemic problem. It's top to bottom. Now, I want to be clear. I think that what is encouraging is that the legislature passed this in the first place, right? I mean, that's encouraging. That we have people out there like Ed Castle, and we have Democratic legislators who actually went through the process and went and fought the good fight to actually pass this through the legislature over the opposition of the Republicans. So that is encouraging. I am definitely encouraged by that. But you're right. The fact that a bill like this could be vetoed reflects on Bill Ritter, reflects on the Democratic Party infrastructure, on the Democratic Party leaders. You're absolutely right. Thanks for the call. 931, we'll go back to the phones on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, let's go to try it again. Alan in Fort Collins. Alan.
Yeah, hi, Dave.
Hi.
It's Alan in Fort Collins. I will preface it by, I am a Republican, and my feeling is Ritter was right to veto this. I do not think that the legislature or the government should be taking sides in a labor dispute.
Agreed. I agree with that.
I know you like it, and
I agree, but I agree with you.
If the United Food Workers, Local 7, is going to bargain as a unit, the grocery stores can act as a unit also. They shouldn't have to pay these people to go on strike.
Hold on a minute. Whoa. Now, as I've always reminded folks, this is a fact. We do, not to be O'Reilly on you, but this is a fact zone here. And you've just introduced something that isn't a fact. This bill is not about paying people who are striking. This bill is about when the employer
locks
people out. Hold on a minute. Locks them out. People show up to work. They say, I'm ready to work. I'm here to work. I'm not striking. I want to go to work. When the company says, no, you cannot go to work, effectively a temporary firing, this bill would say, like any other employee who is put out of work, that employee can file for unemployment benefits. And I want to be clear. I agree with you. The government should not be in the business of taking... hold on a minute. Let me finish. I let you finish. The government should not be in the business of taking sides in a labor dispute. When the government sets up a policy that says every worker who gets fired can apply for unemployment benefits, except those workers who show up for work and are locked out of their job, who are in a union, those workers can't. The government is taking sides. The government is siding with management in doing that.
I disagree with you. I think it is a union, a well-recognized union tactic to strike against one of the parties to try and hammer them down to get the best deal that they can impose on the others. So you have the stores acting as a unit. A strike against one is a strike against
But why? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense. Why can't a union have a problem? Why can't a union is negotiating with one employer. It's negotiating with another employer. It's negotiating with another employer.
It's negotiating as a group, and the stores have agreed to negotiate as a group also. Why don't they have that?
But the point is here,
they're negotiating with one
how
entity.
Can you say you don't want the government to intervene on anybody's behalf, which I agree with you, equal opportunity, the government should look at this objectively, I agree with you. How can you say you support that and then also say that the government's policy should be to deny unemployment benefits to, excuse me, I'll put it another way, the government's policy should be to give unemployment benefits to everybody in the state except for union workers. That seems to me that's not
union
an impartial policy.
That's not an impartial policy. Yeah,
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. Is corporate welfare, is the government's corporate welfare to the supermarket industry? Is that Is the government's corporate welfare to the supermarkets being cut off when those companies lock their workers out? If you don't want the government to be impartial, I mean, this is the whole point here. The whole point here is that you don't really want equal opportunity under the law. And you're kind of being like Governor Ritter. You don't want to just come out and say, look, you want a situation where workers are persecuted. That's an economic ideology. You're entitled to that economic ideology. What you're not entitled to do is come on. Well, I guess you're entitled to it, but you're not entitled to do it without me challenging you. You're not entitled to come into this forum and say, hey, you want the government just to be impartial, and then say it is being impartial by having an unemployment benefits situation that says everybody in the state of Colorado is entitled to unemployment benefits except for workers who are in a union who get thrown out of their jobs. That's not impartial. Thanks for the call. 936, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. What do you think of Governor Ritter's veto of the bill that would reinstate the law in Colorado that says no matter how you get fired, you get to apply for unemployment benefits? Ritter vetoed that law so that Governor Bill Owens's bill remains on the books. That bill says that if you are locked out of your job, if you come to work, your employer locks you out because you're part of a union, you can't get unemployment benefits. What do you think about Governor Ritter's veto? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
You got it, Dave. Still working some slower jams on 225 and I-25. Now, if you're leaving Aurora, expect to hit some jams there from around I-70. Now about Colfax down to Alameda. Had an early situation there causing some lengthy delays there still. Also southbound I-25, I-70 past Spears showing some heavier volumes. Speeds getting up into the 30s and 40s now. Should be back to top speed here pretty shortly. Don't hear any problems on the turnpike, C-470, 6th Avenue, or on I-70 right now. So it looks like we've made a pretty nice clearing of the morning commute. We do have a closure, though, on US 6 between 119 and 58 for upgrades to tunnels 1, 2, and 3. Your alternates to Central City, I-70 to the Central City Parkway. The forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm with a high around 86. Afternoon thunderstorms also on tap right now, 74 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the Eastern Conference Finals is about to unfold on TNT. LeBron looks to extend the Cavs to playoff perfection, while Orlando is out to prove that they're championship material. Magic Cavaliers Game 1, tonight at 6, only on TNT.
You know what the Snuggies are, right? They're for people who can't deal with blankets. A Snuggie is...
Tim Patton is engineering director for Boulder-based Micromotion and a graduate of the CU Executive MBA program.
Since I completed the CU Executive MBA program, I've become a more integral part of Micromotion. It's enabled me to see the big picture of the company and make better informed decisions about the direction we're going. My company sponsored me in the CU Executive MBA program. Maybe yours will too.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. 623-1888.
And Mark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America. And it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 R.L. Polk data.
Another compelling identity theft metaphor brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the movies.
When it comes to identity theft protection, ordering a free credit report is like going to the movies just for the previews. But if you get your credit report from Identity Guard, then you get a veritable double feature of expert telephone support as well as 21st century tools and technologies to help protect your identity. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. Yes, that's right. 20 million is a lot of people. So call Identity Guard today, sit down, have a large popcorn, and get real identity theft protection and a very happy ending.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
We'd like to offer up a welcome to our listening audience in the governor's office. We're pretty sure that they're listening in this morning. Hope everybody's doing okay over there. And if you don't like what you're hearing, then you get your boss on the line, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get an answer from him about why he did this. And I'd like to ask him why he cited the grocery workers' potential strike as his justification for vetoing this bill, when he probably knows full well that there's language in the bill that he vetoed that made sure that this didn't intervene in that labor dispute. We're talking about Governor Bill Ritter's veto of the bill to extend unemployment benefits to those who were locked out of their jobs by their employers. In other words, you come to work. You're part of a union. You come to work. You're ready to work. Your boss doesn't let you in, locks you out of the facility, because maybe you've asked for a slight raise. Maybe you've asked them just not to cut your wages, and they say, no, we don't want to negotiate with you. See you later. We're locking you out. You are, under Colorado law, unlike every other worker in the state, you're not allowed to get unemployment benefits because of that. Obviously, that rigs the worker-management relationship, because if you know that, you're probably not going to ask for a raise. If you know that your boss can lock you out, and you can't even get unemployment benefits, you probably are not going to try to fight for your rights at all, in any way at all. And Ritter went on record in this veto endorsing that. Remember, this wasn't state law here until it was changed to be what it is today by Governor Bill Owens. And the question on this bill is, what's the difference between Governor Bill Owens and Governor Bill Ritter? I know the one says he's a Republican and one says he's a Democrat, but there's really not much policy difference when you look at it. And I want to mention one other thing. Bill Ritter has on his desk right now a bill that would allow firefighters to unionize if they choose. If they choose. He hasn't said whether he's going to sign it. Ed Casso is in the newspaper, the representative who sponsored the bill that was vetoed yesterday. He's in the newspaper saying he thinks Governor Ritter is going to veto it, which would be absolutely unbelievable. Although after Ritter's record of vetoing this bill, his record of vetoing that Labor Peace Act reform, wouldn't be unbelievable. It would be disgusting, but it wouldn't be unbelievable. If you have a problem with any of this, call Bill Ritter's office, 303-866-2471. Again, 303-866-2471. So far, Governor Ritter has not agreed to come on our show and answer our questions about his veto. We will continue asking him to come on and explain himself. And we've heard from a couple callers that they said that we haven't made the request for him to come on the show. That's a lie if that's what they're saying. Governor Ritter is entitled. I'll give him 8 hours. The rest of this week, he can have all 8 hours to come on this show and answer questions from callers about this and any other issue. Let's get back to the phones. 303-713-7600. Bill in Superior. Bill.
Hi, David.
Hey there.
I think we're trying to rationalize Ritter's Democratic contrarianism. I don't think it really has anything to do with it on philosophy. I think what it has to do is he's looking right now. I don't think he really cares whether he's reelected in 2010. He appoints Bennett, which makes no sense except that he brings maybe a certain amount of clientele to Ritter's law firm. And Ritter, with all of these passage, vetoes, is also doing the same with his law firm. He doesn't care. I think he's done enough now to make himself a very rich man, and he doesn't care if he gets another 4 years or not. Anyway, thanks, David.
You think this is Bill Ritter basically, really cashing in?
Absolutely. I absolutely believe that a guy who went and, under the Democratic banner as a progressive has absolutely withdrawn everything that I think this the party and Progressive Party in Colorado stands for.
So it's basically like you're saying he's made the calculation, look, I don't care if I get reelected. I got to think about securing my own personal economic future.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what he makes as governor, 120 or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
That's probably pretty much average. But just think about all of the. I mean, Bennett brings a lot of political people with him, high profile, rich people, and that appointment was strictly one thing, in my opinion. I think it pretty much told us, at least me, where Ritter stands.
Hey, fair enough, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
9:45, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. I don't know if I agree with the idea that this is for Bill Ritter's, that he's thinking about his own personal paycheck here after he gets out of office. Although I do think the idea that, a lot of politicians don't take on entrenched money power because they don't want to offend entrenched money power, whether because they don't want to have a lot of money spent against them to get thrown out of office. And certainly they want to preserve career options later in life. That's not anything particular to Bill Ritter. That's just a fact of, unfortunately, a fact of political life in our corrupt system. Jeff, you're on AM 760. Jeff.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good.
I'm furious.
Agreed. Me too.
I've voted for this man based on the same thing I voted for Barack Obama, change.
And if we could impeach him, we should. I called his office, and I was referred to a website that would explain his positions. And so I encourage, and I thank you for giving out the phone number.
And I'll give it out again. It's 303-866-2471 is Governor Ritter's number. 303-866-2471. You can call him up, express your...
Can we call him traitor? traitor Ritter?
Well, I mean, you can call him anything you like. I certainly think that, what really bothers me about this, and Turk had said this, and I agree with him, what really bothers me about this, beyond the substance of this issue, beyond just how offensive it is to veto this bill, is, you know, this mealy-mouthed explanation saying you don't want to inject yourself in the ongoing negotiations between the grocery workers union and the grocery stores, when, in fact, Ritter knows that there is language in that bill making sure it doesn't go into effect until July. And when, in fact, Ritter knows that the grocery workers union and the grocery store owners have agreed to a deadline on these negotiations of May 31st. So
your comment about his core values not being, earlier in the program you said his core values should be democratic. I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah, I mean, this shouldn't be a question for a Democrat. I mean, it shouldn't be a question for anybody, but particularly for a Democratic official who remember, you know, a lot of, you know, I'm not endorsing a pay-to-play system, but like millions and millions of dollars of Colorado workers' wages in the form of union dues went into helping elect this guy, right? And this is the absolute minimum. We're not talking about radical labor reform here. We're talking about simply saying, having a legal system that doesn't persecute union workers by saying they're the one set of workers who shouldn't be allowed to apply for unemployment benefits when their employer temporarily, and in many cases permanently, fires them. That's all we're saying. We're not talking about radical labor reform.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because I voted for him, but what is his background, and how did this man get into the governor's office without us knowing that he would be this kind of a turncoat?
Well, he was a district attorney, which doesn't deal all that much with these kinds of issues in a direct way. He always says, I mean, I've heard him speak. He always says, "Hey, I came from a union household." Well, that's great, but like, you know, you can come from a union household if you're willing to cast vetoes like this. I'd rather have somebody who doesn't come from a union household who actually uses their power in office to help working people.
It reminds me of the senator from Pennsylvania, Specter. I mean, I just don't, you have, like you said, you have either core values where you, you know, you stand on certain issues, and when you can flip-flop, say, from like Specter did, from one party to the other, or the governor of Colorado that can't stand on a labor issue like this, we don't need these kind of people in serving our interests.
And the question then is, which is a fair question, what is the difference between Bill Ritter and Bill Owens on an issue like this? What is the difference? There is no difference. There is no difference. Now, I agree. I do believe that there are, on some issues, big differences between the parties. But when you start getting to questions about money and power and corporate concentration and workers' rights, when you look at that set fraction of issues, and it's not even a fraction, it's a large amount of issues that government deals with, unfortunately, the differences between the parties, both at the state and federal level, become much... There aren't that many differences. They look the same. It feels like it's one party, the money party, with two branches, the Democrats and the Republicans. Again, not on every issue, but on issues of money and corporate power like this, it sure looks that way. Hey, thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to your calls on Governor Bill Ritter's blockbuster veto of the bill extending unemployment benefits to workers who get locked out by their employers. What do you think about that veto? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, Dave, the morning commute looks like it's all over for us. Just got a closure in between Idaho Springs and Central City there. U.S. 6 shut down between 119 and Colorado 58. They're doing some work there on tunnels 1, 2, and 3. Got to look for your alternates, maybe Golden Gate Canyon, as well as Central City Parkway off of I-70. Southbound 25 also still a little slow or behind anyway, I-70 to Spear. Same deal on southbound 225 from I-70 to Alameda due to an earlier small accident. The forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., then mostly cloudy. Isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs will be in the mid to upper 80s. Right now we're at 75 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Help protect your home's value by improving your landscape. Visit PioneerSand.com. With 15 Front Range locations, Pioneer Sand Company offers decorative rock, bark, flagstone, boulders, excellent service, and much, much more. For the location nearest you, visit PioneerSand.com, and they deliver.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, accelerated piano method at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then I pass the ball to
Taz in San Jose because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I pass the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line created by our national development team.
Spread across 3 time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code TIME to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code, TIME. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
.954 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I just got this email. I love it. It's one of the best emails I've gotten. Corey writes, my wife is a Birdies fan and my in-laws are from South Jersey. I think you are the Eagles fan of politics, and I mean that in a good way. When somebody screws up, you throw snowballs at their heads, and I applaud you for it. Keep up the good work. Yeah, I'm, I don't know if Corey knows this. I am originally from Philadelphia, so I take that as a big compliment, too. Thanks, man. Thanks for the email. All right, we'll go back to the phones. 303-713-7600. Bill Ritter's veto of the bill extending unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out of their jobs by their employers. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Remember, many other states have on the books laws that say workers who get locked out of their jobs should be treated like every other worker in the state. They should be able to file for unemployment benefits. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Bob in Littleton. Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I did call the governor's office, and I talked to a person there, and she just told me that the governor can't be reached, is what she said.
Well, the governor, well, that's right. He couldn't be reached on the death penalty. He can't be reached on this. I don't want to be vain. He's a busy guy. He's running the state, and we're one show here. So I think he owes us a better explanation than saying that, oh, he vetoed it because of he doesn't want to interject himself in this grocery worker strike, when in fact the bill was written so that it doesn't interject itself into the grocery worker strike.
Well, and the point you made was well said, is the fact that actually they're repealing a measure that Bill Owens and the Republican state legislature pulled, several years back, and that should have been a no-brainer, that they just put it back to the way it was. And his argument, the one thing that I thought that was kind of lame was the argument that there hasn't been enough discussion, You know, and I'm going, God, it must have gone through two committees and,
I mean, that is,
and
that,
two floors.
That is ridiculous because Ed Casso, the bill author, told us that he had introduced this in the last legislature, too. I mean, two legislative sessions. It finally gets through there. There hasn't been enough discussion. That's nonsensical. It's not even nonsensical. It's just, I mean, please humor us and come up with a better explanation than that. That's just...
Well, that's attorney talk.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and Bill Ritter is, you know, all due respect to attorneys, you're right. Well, it's not attorney talk. I would call it lawyering, right?
Lawyering.
That's what lawyering is. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, bye.
Ed in Lakewood. Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
It didn't really surprise me that he vetoed that bill. He's always been kind of Jake Jabb's boy, and Jake Jabb is definitely anti-labor and anti-union. And it doesn't really surprise me. I'm kind of concerned about that other bill that's in the Senate, the right to work. You don't hear much about it anymore. And I'm afraid since these senators and congressmen have got reelected, they're not going to worry about the working people now. I hope that that passes, but it's just kind of out there, isn't it? And you don't hear much about it anymore.
Yeah, you don't hear much about it, and they definitely could bring it up real quick. You're totally right. Thanks for the call, man. All right, last call of the day. Let's go to Michael in Denver. Michael.
Hey, let me make a case for an opposing point of view here. Let me ask a question first, though. Is this station part of the Rupert Murdoch, Fox News, News Corp, Clear Channel conglomerate?
This channel is Clear Channel. I don't think Clear Channel is Rupert Murdoch, though.
Okay. Well, the case that I'm making is the case that... the courts in this land determine there are two kinds of lies. They determine that by asking or that by demanding of a witness that they state the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, there's this little issue of paragraph 8 in this article, which says, the measure would have changed the standard for whether locked-out workers get benefits from which side started the fight to who stands to gain from it. Now, that's the crucial point. That's what needs to be explained. If that is not explained, we have a half-truth.
You don't have a half-truth at all. We have always said is what is reported in that article, which is that this bill would allow workers who get locked out of their jobs to get unemployment benefits. That's a truth. Now, if you like the veto, that's fine. That's your right. But we're staying.